Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is that you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Ho ye! Ho ye! King Shazeez the Turbo! All rise for King Shazeez the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Ha ha ha!
Are we? nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The turbo. All rise for the king, Shazam the turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. It's old King Shazuz the Terrible. Hope you all doing well out there. I'm sitting around the round table with my coffee waiting for some of the honorable knights to show up over here and join me and talk about all kinds of things in this world. Seems this world's priorities are kind of upside down as far as I'm concerned. I watched a little video a little while ago to talk about how Iran just sent a second monkey into space. Yeah, well, we got Iran sending monkeys into space, and we got the Chinese landing on the moon, and we got B.O. Shutting down. He already shut down the doggone space shuttle project. And so as I'm thinking about all this kind of stuff, I think, you know, what in tarnation are all these folks up here thinking? I mean, you could spend all the money that it takes to put a monkey into space or land on the moon with a rover, or supposedly go to Mars, for that matter, put a rover out there. So you really can't tell whether or not who's who and what's what. I did see one photo of the moon from the Chinese, and that was pretty impressive, and it kind of makes me think that they really did go to the moon, because at one episode they had talked about how the soil was orange. And this photo that the Chinese sent back looked like the soil was kind of orange there. So either way, a lot of interesting things going on in the world. A lot of madness too. I'm sitting out here trying to stoke up the fire in the fireplace and combat that terrible global warming again. Because it's, you know, like frosty outside. Anyway, if any of the knights are out there listening in, come on in here and get on this radio. And if you're just listening in and want to call in and become one of the knights of the round table, just add old Shaziz on your Skype there as a contact and call in live and tell me what you think about monkeys in space, man. Could be worse. I mean, at least you'd have got something exciting happen if there's a monkey up there. We should be, by this time in history, we should be traveling through space and... Oh, wait a second. We got Thomas calling in here. How you doing there, brother?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, you know, same old, just different day. I'm sitting out here combating global warming, throwing logs in the fire and trying to, you know, speed the process up a hair. You still there?
And yeah, I'm still here. So, am I coming through?
Oh, yeah, you're fine. I just had some little weird thing pop up there, you know, modern technology. It doesn't always want to agree with each other.
Right.
So what do you think about the Iranian sending a second monkey into space?
Oh, man.
Yeah, have you heard about that yet?
No, this is the first time I've heard about it. They're trying to catch up with us, but they're still back in the 50s, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, they got a monkey. They had a second monkey into space. I hope he came back all right.
Right.
And the Chinese just landed on the moon with a rover, and they got a pretty good picture up out of that deal there. I hope to see more pictures from the moon. But, you know,
Did they say why they were going to the moon?
Well, you know, if it was, in my opinion, what I think they would be going to the moon for is probably to find out what kind of minerals can be used from the moon, you know, start mining it.
Right. Well, I was going to say, that's been the general consensus, is that they found that, was it helium-3 or hydrogen-3?
I think
it was
helium-3. Helium-3, I believe.
Right. And, you know, they're looking to try to get their hands on some of that and start producing energy, because, you know, they consume a tremendous amount of oil. In fact, we're almost always in a little bit of competition with them when it comes to buying oil from other countries, so...
Yeah, well, it's starting to look like their dollar might be just a little bit stronger than ours anymore.
That wouldn't surprise me. They're holding enough notes against us right now.
Well, yeah.
They basically buy stuff from us, right? And we look at it as, hey, we've got this great trade balance, but the fact is they're selling us like 2 or 3 cents worth of, you know, cheap crap that's basically been made into high-quality electronics and, you know, toys.
Yeah.
And then they turn around with the dollars that they get for that 2 cents worth of plastic and stuff, they turn around and buy $1, $1, $10, $20 worth of, you know, raw ore, you know, resources to make more of that stuff. So they're always on the uptake on us. You know, they've got their people pounding away making all that stuff because, you know, their economy is arranged to make it easier for them to do that.
I saw a very interesting documentary where the one Chinese manufacturer guy was all ticked off because he was talking about how, you know, the Americans always talking about how they got crappy products and everything, and he said that we could build products that would last for years, but the corporations coming over here want us to build these things, you know, where they're not going to last as long, so people have to...
Planned obsolescence.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
They keep selling it. Yeah. No, It, that's just it, though. It's not crazy. It's just flawed thinking, because, you know, they're thinking about the now and the bottom line. So if that's all you're concerned about, then that makes total sense. But if you're worried about how long we're going to be able to live on this planet as a species, then no, that's completely foul thinking that you shouldn't really be using. I mean, they're just basically burning up all our resources in order to make a few bucks now.
Yeah, I'm hip, brother. You know, with all the common sense going on around there and the lack of chaos and madness that we see around the world, I'm thinking I want to build me a rocket ship and have a monkey co-pilot and him and I go travel through, you know, space. What do you think?
I'm not going to even comment about the hidden monkey suit I've been occasionally pulling out to try to fool them into letting me up there.
Well, you know, the good thing about if you had a monkey in space, whenever you decide you need a nap, he can drive, you know.
So, probably be better than most of the drivers in Oklahoma.
Oh, man, you should see some down in Kansas, man. These guys down in Kansas, you know, they got 2 speeds, stop and go.
Ants. That's kind of what the way ants are. They only have 1 speed other than stop, and that's full speed.
Yeah, full speed ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I just, when I saw that about the monkeys up there, it just kind of, you know, like you said, they're way back, what was it, the 50s or something like that, 60s?
Right. Yeah, well, I think they started in the 50s. It might have been in the early 60s, so... It took them a little while to get themselves up to sending people up there.
Well, I got to give them credit, you know, if they actually, you know, they did it and they succeeded and brought the monkey back alive and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's good for advancement on and everything.
Actually, if you look at the difficulty it takes to put a rocket into orbit, just getting the monkey up there and not even being able to get him back is still a major accomplishment. There was a couple guys that basically did an entire TV show on trying to do that as, you know, a private couple individuals. And, man, their technology that they employed was incredible, and they still totally failed.
Man.
So,
You know,
they were being rushed by NASA because they're like, you got X amount of time to launch that thing or else we're closing the window and you'll have to wait like 2 years before we can let you launch anything again.
Man.
Like, we own the air.
Oh, yeah, we're live.
Yeah, we own everything around the planet. You don't get to do anything without us telling you it's okay. So, you know, hurry up and wait.
Well,
hurry up and wait.
You know, I saw this other documentary about the highest skydiver. The guy, he went up to like, several miles up in air. You know, essentially he went into space in a balloon.
Right. And, is that the Red Bull guy?
I'm not sure. I know that he had a problem with his glove, and he still went ahead with the whole deal there, you know, because they have to have a pressure suit, you know, otherwise supposedly your skin will boil, or your blood will boil inside there.
Right, lack of pressure, so.
Yeah.
That sounds like the guy that was sponsored by Red Bull.
Oh, he probably was.
They made some jokes about, the company Red Bull has a better. It's a sad day when a company like Red Bull that makes energy drinks has a better space program than your own government does with NASA.
Yeah, and they did it with a balloon, man.
Wow.
So, you know, that's pretty doggone cool. You know, you could actually get into space with a balloon. You know, you can't put as much, I guess they use like helium or something like that in the balloon. You can't put as much in there because of the expansion of the balloon, the higher it gets or something like that. And
right.
You put too much in, it'll pop before it gets into space. But it was a really cool deal. I mean, he got all the way up there and he stepped off and took the long plunge to Earth and came back alive.
Wow. Is that the same guy that was doing the gliding? He was wearing like a suit and gliding around off a mountain with just a suit.
I don't believe that's the same guy.
Is it not?
I'll have to look up a video link on it when I saw this thing. But they showed it on the Science Channel one night, and I watched the whole documentary. It was pretty interesting.
Right.
But, you know, here we got a world of craziness going on. And people are sending monkeys into space, and they're sending rovers to the moon, and, you know, like I said, B.O., he closed down the space shuttle program, so that kind of stalled our process as far as getting to the point where we can actually do like the...
Actually, that's not the problem. The space shuttle program should have been shut down a long time ago. The problem is they didn't replace it with anything. They decided that money for war was more important than putting, you know, a space program back on track, so we're no longer a spacefaring species anymore.
Well, see,
you know,
my whole deal about this is, what happens if we ever have to have a mass evacuation of the Earth, you know? We don't even have a place to go, for real.
Actually, you've got one word in there that's incorrect. You mean when. Because
yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner or later. It might be 10,000 years in the future, but we are going to have to leave this planet at some time.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's just a nest, you know. It's just a nest. And what do baby birds do whenever they're old enough to fly?
Well, they...
The mama bird kicks them out.
Well, I'm glad my mom didn't kick me out back in the day. I wasn't ready for the cruel world, but, you know, I kind of left on my own a couple times, but... You know, anyway, like you said, though, you know, at some point in human history, we're going to have to go out there to see, you know, whether there's another habitable planet. I mean...
Or make something habitable. I mean, that's totally a doable thing, too.
Yeah, I believe we can...
They're just not digging enough into, you know, into simple ideas.
Well,
that's the trick.
It's kind of like, you know, wintertime's coming, but yet you don't get out there and chop a bunch of firewood and stock up for the winter, you know, and then when wintertime gets there, you're kind of screwed.
Right, you sit there and complain about the fact that nobody cut wood for you.
So
that's what we've got going on here.
those folks back in the day whenever they were doing the space program and you know, actually going up there and flying around and doing all the stuff that they did, you know, they were like what's the word I'm looking for? The explorers, you know, like the, who's the dude that supposedly found America? The Columbus.
I thought you were talking about Amerigo Vespucci.
Oh, I don't know who found it.
Because or Leif Erikson.
The story changes every time you hear it, so.
Well, that's just it. There's more than one person that made that journey. I mean, it wasn't a single person who had the idea that the planet was round. Yeah. It's not that hard to figure that out either. I mean, even the Greeks knew it. Whenever they looked out over the water and they saw things kind of dipping down over the horizon, they knew there was a curve. They knew it.
Well, I kind of wish it was flat, because at some point I wouldn't mind just like getting me a parachute and bailing off to the next dimension or something.
Well, that's just it, though. This planet is spherical on a three-dimensional plane, but it may be a different shape on another dimensional, visage.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, if you take a room, let's say it's a 10 by 10 room, right? That means that if that 10 by 10 room will, each one of those increments of space will handle one unit of some object, and the unit has a 10-year lifespan. So for right now, you can fit 100 of those units in there, but over a 100-year period, you can fit 1,000 units in there, because after 10 years, you will replace that 100 that's in there with another 100. And in the next 10 years, another 100. So fourth dimensionally, there's 1,000. There's a 1,000 units worth of storage capacity in that space.
Man, you sound like you pack like my wife does. I'm gonna like start climbing over stuff after a while. I'm like,
but you get the point, though. I mean,
yeah.
You could move fourth dimensionally. You could enter a room that has no doors or windows by just simply being there before it's built.
You know, I'm just thinking, with all the technology that we've got access to right now, we should be so much further advanced than what we are. And maybe in the background, you know, the man behind the curtain has all that technology. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. Because if you look at your cell phone, your average cell phone these days, that's some super, super advanced technology, you know. And if you got that
right
in your hand, you can imagine what the guy at the top's got in his hand.
Right. Well, I was going to say, there's actually a meme floating around that shows a typical cell phone today and the computer technology they use to get to the moon and back.
Oh, yeah, the moon processors that they, the computers that they had in there, they weren't nothing, man. And they were running basic codes.
Right. The only thing that they're kind of neglecting with that is that if you take that phone into space, it won't survive. Even if it's in a capsule, it'll be destroyed by the stray radiation that's out there. You'd have to build something a little bit hardier than that. But, I mean, we have the technology to do that, and we have micronizers. So, yeah, there's no excuse for us not to be already having colonized another planet, or at least have a living habitat somewhere off the planet that is not going to ever crash.
I'm hip.
And self-sustaining.
Go back in time and get you one of them big, giant old bag phones, man. I want one of those. Wouldn't that be cool, running around talking on that?
You wouldn't have to go back in time. I don't know what you'd have to do to get service on it, but you can go to a thrift store and probably find one.
I'd be like, hey, man, I got me a new cell phone. Yeah, you did.
Or one of those bricks. Look at my hand, you know, my bag-free phone. It's just a hand unit. See how small it is?
That's crazy,
man. Doorstop.
But don't you agree, though, that with the technology that we got, we should be so much further along than what we are? And it's kind of like somebody deliberately dragging their feet, you know?
I don't think it's a dragging feet. You're right on the fact that we should be further along, but I think the issue is we have developed our technology in a specialized manner for specific, to suit specific needs, which are basically people's wants. I want a smaller phone. I want a smaller MP3 player. I want to be able to have more music on the go. Not, I want to get off this planet. I want to have energy that doesn't rely on oil. These things have been, you know, not developed because nobody is pursuing them, since there's nobody to back it and push it forward.
Well,
so we need more, we need more networking to pull those people who really do believe and want those things together, so we can work together as a single unit to complete something.
Well, yeah, we could start our own manufacturing system by which we, the people, actually manufacture the goods that we really like and want. You know, I'm noticing that the more time goes on, the more people are trying desperately to get into alternative energy. You know,
mm-hmm.
But then you got knuckleheads in electric companies that are wanting to now charge people $50 just to be tied to the grid. You know, if you're not using their power, but you have your equipment tied to the grid, they want to charge you for it.
Apparently, you're not even allowed to have any equipment either to store power. So, like, if you're running solar, you're still dependent on buying power back from them at a rate that's basically tenfold what they bought the power from you during the day.
Well, you know something?
And that's not even the worst of it. Have you looked into ALEC?
Uh-uh.
They are moving to try to institute laws and a system of rules where they can basically fine you for putting power back into the grid.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, your only option is going to be to completely disconnect from the grid and have no electric bill at all and just make all your own electricity in order to keep from getting so heavily penalized. And they're calling us free riders, those people who want to basically, you know, make their own electricity. Like, you know, somehow we're getting something for nothing from the system and not putting anything back into it.
Well, see, that's just ludicrous, because here you got one on one hand, and I got my own opinions on the electric company, because I believe that all the way back to Tesla, Tesla taught the electric company things that they're making billions off of us because we don't know about. And because of, you know, different ways that they actually run electricity, you know, those two lines that you see coming out, those are two separate lines with high voltage AC, probably about 7,000 volts apiece, and it's just AC current, which is, you know, not, you don't have to have like a return path to send out AC, you know what I'm saying? Not until the point whenever you actually put it under a load that you have to have the return path for the electron. So it's really easy to send out AC, and at certain points, to make the signal stronger, they put amplifiers on the wire. Those big round-looking black cylinders you see out there on the wire, those are amplifiers. So when they send it out for like several miles and then the signal starts to get weak, it goes through like a little step-up transformer / amplifier and sends it on down the line even further.
And right. Then, that's one of my understanding was that they basically pump that voltage way up.
Yeah.
Because the higher the voltage, it's like water under high pressure. If you got a big hose with just a little bit of water coming out of it, it ain't going to do nothing but just drop off the edge of the opening. But if you put it under high pressure and you run it through a little teeny tiny hole, that water will shoot out so fast it'll basically shoot across the room and cut a hole through a piece of steel.
Yeah, well,
so you're not going to stop it from getting that all the way out to, you know, the middle of Timbuktu.
No, they also use the earth as the return path as one huge tank circuit, so, you know, their generators don't have to work near as hard as what they say they do.
Right.
No, anyway, you know, that's all neither here nor there, but the fact is that, you know, these guys are making millions of dollars off of deal. They're getting government subsidies to, you know, run their equipment and pay their people and all that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, why don't you call that what it really is? It's called corporate welfare.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because these are the same guys that don't want to let a single woman who can't basically get a job because she has three kids and, you know, a dead husband, they don't want to give her any food to feed her kids and feed herself or let her kids go to school. They think that they're basically putting themselves out for that.
But they'll give the corporate money anytime they need it. Hell, they bailed out the banks, and the banks got to repossess the houses anyway. So, you know, what's the deal on that?
They got to have their cake and eat it, too. If they weren't to solve the problem with the banks running out of money, they could have done it to where they helped both the homeowners and the banks by giving the homeowners a subsidy to let them pay for their house, and when they paid for their loan on their house, it would put money in the bank.
Yep.
But instead, they just bypassed the homeowner and put it straight in the bank to let them give themselves some big bonuses at the end of the year, and the CEOs just basically walked off with all the money,
and
the people were still left to holding the note.
And they could have done it in the form of a really low interest rate, so that the homeowner would still, you know, be paying for the house, but yet, you know, the government would get the money back with just a tiny bit of interest off of the deal, and the banks would have got their money. Economy would have been stimulated. I agree with you all on that. But back to the old electric company. Here they are over there hollering about how you got to cut down, you got to buy energy saver this and energy saver that, but yet they don't want you feeding any power back into the power grid that could lighten the load on the opposite side. So, you know, something stinks in that whole picture, you know. If they don't want extra electricity, then that means they got more than they can handle. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah, not at all. Especially since they're already organized to where they're basically, for every kilowatt, or let's put it this way, for every dollar's worth of power they sell, they're selling to other people, if you pump that much power into the grid, they only give you 10 cents. So they're making 90 cents off of every 10 cents that they give they give you for buying that, for making that power.
They say it's for safety purposes, so that you don't electrocute a lineman if he's out repairing a line and you got power going through there. But they have these new inverters that will shut themselves off when the mains go down. They will shut themselves off so that you're not feeding power back into the grid.
Well, and it's not that hard. I mean, let's be honest, okay? If you were working around 7,000 volts worth of power, and you're hanging off a line, and all you've got is basically, you know, your rig, and if something slips, you're going to have to grab something with your hand. Are you going to go up there without wearing the proper gloves to handle that 7,000 volts just in case there's a problem?
Oh, heck no.
Or just in case there's a capacitor somewhere that will discharge when you grab it?
There's safety. Their safety training for the linemen out there is like military training, man. They train them guys in every aspect of safety, and the only ones
drill it into their head, yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, look, you're going to appreciate this down the line, guy, because this is going to save your life.
But you know, I just find it ludicrous that like you said, going off the grid is going to be the only option in order to keep their hands out of your pocket.
Well, right now, it's the only option. At some point, I have a feeling that's not even going to be an option. Let's be honest. If you have electricity running, and some lineman rolls by and sees you got an AC running, you got lights on at night and whatnot while he's, you know, coming on the way home, and he mentions that to somebody, they're going to say, man, I'll bet that guy's stealing power. And they're going to come out there and arrest you and take you in and then go over your house with a fine-tooth comb. And when they find out you're not stealing power, you're making your own power, they'll let you go, but they're not going to apologize for nothing, and all your equipment will be destroyed when you get home.
Oh, I believe that.
You'll have to start all over. We've got reported documents of this already. No one apologizes whenever they're wrong for arresting somebody, and they end up basically upsetting their life like that. They're just like, oh, well, too bad for you.
Yeah. It's kind of like when the cops come in your house with what they call a no-knock search anymore, and they just, like, shred your house and walk out and, sorry, got wrong house.
Yeah, for sure. So they had an issue like that, too, where a bank had them foreclose on a house, and the guy had to go through a huge hassle because he actually had paid his house off. It was somebody else in the past. Or somebody else's house that they, you know, thought that it was his, that, you know, his house was their house or their notary. There was some mistake on their clerical error, and they seized his property and seriously damaged his property, and he had to go and sue them and literally foreclose on their local offices and send the sheriff's department out to shut down that bank. Well, and he still didn't fully get compensated for the damage they did because they were just like, well, it's a cost of doing business.
See, now, something's also wrong about the whole situation where you actually have police officers intervening in what would be classified as a civil matter. Anytime you got a loan, you know, that's a civil matter. Now,
well, right, but at some point, if the people involved in it are not willing to abide by the laws that are handed down by a judge, then you have to call the police in to deal with it. And that's kind of how a lot of people don't know this. If you do sue somebody, if you don't know how to go about filing for an injunction on their resources when they fail to hold up their end according to what the judge told them, you will never get paid.
Yeah, but
they'll
see, that's
just remain owing you, you know?
That's the key. First, it's got to go through a court. First, the judge has got to say something about it, you know?
Right. Well, and before they seize property, a judge had to sign a seizure notice. But, you know, they don't investigate this stuff. That judge didn't know anything about what's going on inside that bank. They've got the same closed-door policy that the Federal Reserve has. No one's allowed to look. No one's allowed to see. Oh, it's all a big trade secret. You might damage our bank if you saw it. The only way I see it damaging the bank if we see what they're up to is because we're going to see how they've been, you know, crooking people.
Well, that's what... You know, I keep talking about how crazy this world is. It just seems to me that the system has its priorities asked backwards. You know, you can send a monkey into space, but you can't feed the hungry. You can go over and bomb the crap out of people, bomb them back into the Stone Age, and then send your companies over to repair and rebuild and, you know, give them democracy, quote, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then now, you know, they want to sit around pissing and moaning about you trying to produce your own electricity. You can't even breathe without having to pay in some portions of the world, like, you know, Australians paying the highest carbon tax of the world. And to me, that's just ludicrous, man.
Yeah. It's just another scam, like you said.
But then every time...
This is what I tried to say. When I first started talking to cultists over on International Alternative Energy Community?
Yeah.
Or maybe the center. But, you know, if you produce a free energy device and you do manage to get it pushed into the general populace, the government is going to be aware not only of the fact that you're making all your own power, but the fact that you're not paying that monthly fee anymore, either for gas or for electricity. And those guys are going to go, that extra money sitting in your account because you're not paying that every month, there's got to be a way we can tap into that resource.
Oh, yeah.
It's not your property. It's a resource to them.
They'll figure it out.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is they'll turn us upside down again, where basically we're still in the same financial hole we were in before, but we will be reliant on ourselves at that point to produce our own power. We will not be able to basically, you know, in other words, you'll lose some time out of your life having to maintain and take care of your own equipment that you now have at this point to do for yourself.
Well, there was an episode several years back where this guy made a really cool generator that ran off 110 volts AC, and he had one socket running in his entire house. And he used the AC that he was creating off the generator to run his house. And so every time the light company would come out there, you know, they'd check the meter, and the meter wasn't, you know, it didn't match to what the house should be using. He was using less by doing it the way that he did in order to, you know, run his house. And so they tried to get him for stealing electricity, you know, and he wasn't stealing nothing. He was paying for the electricity that he was using. He was just generating more power using what he had access to already.
Right.
You know, they played hell on that guy trying to get him for, stealing electricity. But, you know, in the long term, he didn't get in any kind of trouble. But they told him, they basically put a gag order on him, told him he better not tell anybody about it.
Man, well, you know what? The next thing that I mentioned too, when I mentioned how basically what will happen if you have this excess money in your account because you're not paying for those bills because you're producing your own, the corporations and the government are going to balance out, so they're going to raise their taxes to soak that up, and they're going to lower their wages and raise the prices on the goods they're selling to you to try to soak up the remainder of it.
Yeah, they got...
So the best way I can see doing it is if you come up with the technology, don't tell anybody you can't trust to keep their mouth shut.
Well...
And share it with people that will keep their mouth shut, and when you set it up to run your power, go outside and set up a bunch of, you know, plywood and aluminum struts and paint them so they look like they're solar cells. That way they think you bought solar cells to generate your power. Because they're saying they're accepting that. That's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hide your production from the government and from, you know, from the corporations. You don't have to hide it from the public, but, you know, we don't want people who will, they'll see it and go, hey, man, I got to go patent this because no one's patented it. I need to make some money.
Yeah, that's where they fail.
Right. The second they do that, it becomes government knowledge.
Well, you know, so, I'm thinking, you know, instead of putting your money in the bank, go out and buy you a bunch of silver and shove it in your mattress. I'm sure after a while your mattress will get kind of uncomfortable, but at least, you know, as opposed to paper money, you don't have to worry about your house burning down and losing all your cash.
Right, and this is a thing, though, that still doesn't equate for, you know, they watch how much money you get paid, and they know how much money you have to spend every month. That's how they make these tax laws. Is they're looking at the medium, what an average person should have left over after they're done doing all the things that they do. And then they're basically applying the tax laws to squeeze any excess out of those people that they should have. And, of course, not everybody is the same. So anybody who basically is, you know, on the bottom end side of that is getting squeezed to death.
Man, that's a damn shame. You can't get anywhere in this world, you know.
Not if you're honest about it and tell them what all you're doing. And you can't share with those guys. They don't know how to share.
Well, I just, every time I come up with an idea, I put it out there as public knowledge to everybody. I'm not looking to patent anything or get rich or anything like that. I just feel like, you know, if I share this information, somebody else can take my information and add it with their information and do something to benefit their life, you know. Have you ever seen an APC for a computer?
I have a whole bunch of them here. There's a company not too far from here that basically throws them away as soon as they're past what they consider their expiration date. Their guidelines are very stringent, so they throw them out before even 40% of the life of the APC has been used up.
Well, you're sitting on the holy grail there, brother. Hold on, I'm going to add Devlin to the call.
Okay.
You're sitting on the holy grail of the thing, because did you know that you can take those same APCs and instead of just having the actual batteries that's in there, you can put a huge battery bank to those and have them charging while your electricity's on?
Oh, yeah, but to use that power, there's some technology in there you have to disable. And there are a couple chips. I have the schematic somewhere. You can look them up. I mean, if you open yours up and look at the circuit board on it, there's going to be a big chip that has basically leads coming off from all four sides of it. And if you look at the schematic, you'll see that there's some leads that if they're supplied power, meaning if you cross them over from where your normal 12-volt power supply is coming from, it will trick that chip into thinking that it's supposed to be taking power from the battery bank rather than taking from from your wall outlet and not setting off an alarm. So it won't squeak at you. It won't eventually shut down. It won't, you know, go into a timing mode and disable itself, and you can just use it all night long if your power's out without having to worry about it shutting off after a certain time or making a racket that'll keep you awake all night.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about there. But they're set up to, if they don't have a certain amount of voltage coming from the batteries themselves, that they won't even kick on, you know, whenever your power goes off. But you can put as many batteries as you want in parallel. You can make a huge battery bank connected to these things. And
all it does is extends the lifespan of the runtime. That's all.
Normally they only last for about 15 minutes after the power goes out. But if you got a huge battery bank, you can extend that time. And basically, you know, if you wanted to, you could actually set it up at night where you go flip the breaker on your house and run your house off of those at night, and then in the daytime, flip them back on, charge them up.
Right. Or charge them up off of solar cells.
Well, there you go.
Running them off of the grid. So if you got the cells, I mean, cells are cheap too. That's the thing. If you know what to look for, you can buy brand new cells that, you know, they may not look pretty, but their capabilities and the lifespan of the cell is exactly the same as what you would buy if you bought a perfectly pristine cell that was brand new.
Well,
anytime they get a little chip or something on them, nobody wants those, even though they're still producing the exact same amount of power.
And you can also watch the flea markets, because I find them every once in a while really cheap, and maybe they're not working to their full capacity, but even a damaged solar cell will still put out energy.
Right.
So
they have about a 200-year lifespan.
So, you know,
although at 199 years, they're putting out, for every 100 watts you were initially getting, they're going to put out 1 watt.
there's a simple off-the-grid solution if you wanted to actually go through the process of doing it. But those APCs, you know, they're actually inverters. And so, you know, if you got them hooked to a huge battery bank and you keep that battery bank charged up, then you know, you got some extra energy when you need it. Hey, Devlin, how you doing there, brother?
You can hear me, yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you fine. I'm going to go let my dog in. You guys go ahead and talk.
Yeah, no problem. I was listening in there. A lot of good stuff there about, you know, the technology. Part of it is we have to learn how to fight these guys when they try their legal stunts against us. And the biggest way in America is, the law they're really using in America is the dollar belongs to the Federal Reserve. It doesn't belong to you. It might be in your pocket, but you're only loaning the...
It's only on loan.
Yeah. And it's because of that, then they can tax it and they can take it away from you any time they want. So the real solution to the problem is to make your own money. And something
which
like...
Which I've done.
Yeah, well, Bitcoin or some local currency that you want to make, or time.
That's the one right there. Mine is based on hour, so.
Yeah.
And the creation is only occurred by people donating resources and funds for scientific research, for energy and you know, world causes and stuff like that. It's not given to banks, so.
Yeah, that's how you fight them, because as long as you use a dollar or a euro or yen or any of these central bank issued currencies, they have jurisdiction over it.
Right.
And so
they can demand it back at any time too. It doesn't even have to be taxed. They can just say, you know what, we're shutting this all down. You hand in all those notes you've got. We don't care, and just take it.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, there was one Irish guy, and he had, like, I don't know, 10 million bucks, maybe more. And he went to America, and he wrote a book all about it. And what happened was the FBI arrested him as a Russian spy.
Wow.
And yeah, crazy. It's crazy stuff. But what was very interesting to discover was that the FBI was able to issue worldwide a closing down of all of his bank accounts, including the bank accounts in Russia, which he had.
Wow.
So he now no longer had any money that he could use to defend himself with a lawyer. I mean, more than that, they had thrown him in the jail without telling his family, so his family had no idea where he was. All they knew was he stepped on an aeroplane. Because he was a big businessman, he rang from the aeroplane to say, I'm on board and I'll be in Ireland in whatever, so many hours, because he was flying with the Russian airline.
Right, and he never arrived, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he just never arrived. And they couldn't figure this out. And he just got lucky because he spoke several languages. He spoke Russian and he spoke Chinese. And they threw him in a cell with an Iranian guy who was in there on some minor stuff. And the Iranian guy spoke Chinese. So between the two of them, they were able to work out that he could contact his girlfriend and tell his family. And so then his family knew he was in jail. They were able to come over and... You know, quite a few of them were also big business people in the world, and, you know, would have like 10 million bucks as well. And they were able to employ the best lawyers and everything, but they still kept him in prison in California for 6 months. Because they said the problem was they knew that the case was wrong. What had happened was he had made a gadget that would... he got the contract from Moscow to do the set-top box on top of the television that would decode the satellite stuff. And he'd filled in all the paperwork correctly for what's called dual-use equipment. Do you know what I mean? You know, and the American government had stamped everything, and they were quite happy that he was using these particular microchips for decoding satellite signals for the television sets. And he went to two companies in America. One was a very big company and one was a very small one. And the very small one came in at a better price, so he gave the contract to the smaller one. So the big company, very upset that they lost the contract for 3 million satellite boxes, they called up the FBI and they said he was buying up all this stuff for dual use for the, you know, for the Russians, and he was a Russian spy. You know, it was complete ludicrous. So the FBI, after a couple of weeks, they worked out, well, this is a load of, you know, there was a chicken in the middle, and it's a load of rubbish, you know. But they couldn't let him go, because if they let him go, then he could sue them. So it took 6 months of negotiations whereby he had to say, he made some minor mistake. He might have made some minor mistake. Well, he actually signed something which said he might have made a minor mistake. I mean, they fined him $10,000 and they let him out of prison. And they said, you can come back to America anytime you like. Needless to say, he said, hell will freeze over before you'll go back to America.
Yeah. That's what I would be saying. I wouldn't be coming back. No, I might have been saying something a little stronger than that.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, if the Russians had done it to an American, there'd be hell to pay about it. But because the Americans did it to a non-American, be it Irish or be it Russian or whatever, there's no media about it. So he wrote a book about it, and he contacted a few of his American friends. And he said the American friends were terrified of the FBI, and, you know, because they were coming around, they'd seen the book, and they were coming around to hassle him and say, you know nothing, yada, 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 you know what I mean? And he said he rang them up, and they were terrified of the FBI. They were terrified of all these different, you know, large groups, alphabet soups that were visiting them because the book was exposing the Americans as no longer being the good guys.
Right.
I mean,
we haven't been for a long time.
Yeah. Well, what it did show was they can close down your bank account in any part of the world. That's why they don't like Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is outside of their control.
Right. They say that it's outside of their control, but you know that because they can print money on demand and make as much as they want and draw upon any reserves they want, they can go to all those brokers and buy up all the bitcoins they want, which means that gives them the ability to fluctuate bitcoins at will by buying it up and selling it off and buying it up and selling it off to cause it to crash and rise and basically scare people off from it. I mean, nobody wants to sail on a sea that's all rocky and there's constantly storms.
Well, according to cultists, they got a new coin out there called Megacoin. Have you guys heard about that one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, tell me about it.
Well, I don't know about it. You have to talk to cultists on it, but apparently it's a lot better deal than what the Bitcoin was.
Right. They've got apparently some stuff. I'll have to do some studying to find out how they're doing it, but they're apparently they have some things in place to basically eliminate issues like what basically could happen with Bitcoin if somebody with a lot of money and a lot of computing power were to try to create a problem. You know, there was an issue just very recently that I didn't even know about it until cultists mentioned it to me. I had to go and look it up, but there were a group of people that were basically being accused of counterfeiting a whole bunch of bitcoins, and that caused a massive market crash, because if you can counterfeit bitcoins, that kind of is one of the most important keystones to its value. And as it turned out, those who stuck with the bitcoin, or, you know, bought up the bitcoins whenever they plummeted in value because of that that story coming out and everybody dumping their coins, when the real story came out where they basically exposed that what had happened is the group had actually hacked a bunch of people's computers and tapped into the computers kind of the way SETI does legally, where you let them use your computer to process their data when you're not using it. They did the same thing like that without asking to these people's computers and mined legitimate coins. So the coins were not counterfeit. Just the method that was used to find them was illegitimate.
Man.
And, of course, then, you know, the value of the Bitcoin went right back up because nobody cares about that. They're like, I'll protect my computer. If somebody steals a little computing power, I'm fine. As long as they're not going to, you know, counterfeit, you know, 10 trillion Bitcoins and make my Bitcoins that are worth $1,000 right now worth 10 cents tomorrow, I'm fine. If that's not going to happen, I'm okay, you know. Which is what ultimately the end result was, is that that won't happen.
So what I'm seeing here is that every solution that we've got, because we must be getting their attention on a big scale, because if these guys are actually going through all the effort to do what it is that they're doing to try to knock it down, that's because they know that it's going to work, you know?
Right. And if it gets too big, then it's going to be, they're not going to be able to knock it down, so they want to start knocking on it before it gets too big.
Well, I'm still leaning more towards getting me a monkey co-pilot and going into space, man.
You know, I was going to say, you don't need a monkey co-pilot. If you need a co-pilot and you're serious, I'll go.
Cool.
I'm sure we can get a whole armful of people, too, that are more than tired of this nonsense and more than willing to leave to get away from it. So
yeah, we can all go over there and terraform Mars, man.
You know, I'm quite willing to wear a monkey suit to get on board.
Don't be giving my secret away there.
Yeah. No, I do think we can fight them back, but unfortunately it requires not using any central currency like dollar, euro, yen, any of these, and trying to encourage local currencies. And then once we have enough competing local currencies, the dollar, which gives them their power, will basically diminish. And if they can't tax our local currency because it's time-based or it's asset-based or whatever, then they'll go out of business, and then we'll go back to the good old days where government doesn't exceed much more than really a county. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not the government you're trying to knock out of power. It's the corporations that control the government.
Yeah,
if you got rid of that, you'd get rid of 99% of the corruption that's going on.
Yeah, that's the key right there.
And that's who owns the money. It's not the government that owns it. It's these corporations. The Federal Reserve is a privately held company that has stockholders.
That's right. And, well, so, the thing is, what they do is they try to centralize all power. So all power now in America is centralized in Washington. And in Europe now, it's all centralized in Brussels. And the taxation base is changed to supply all the tax dollars to Washington and all the tax dollars or euros to Brussels. And then the big corporations don't have to deal with local governments anymore, you know, which can be more time-consuming. They just have to deal with one big government. I mean, that's why they like the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and the Stalins and the Francos. They just had to deal with one guy and say, look, make it happen, and it would happen.
Well, you know.
So now, if we can remove their tax base that supplies these, you know, huge government machinery like Washington and Brussels, then it basically, power goes back to local governments. And then we get rid of the power of the corporation and the power of the big government.
You know,
it makes it a lot easier to have true democracy if you're not having to tally up 3 million votes across an entire continent.
You know, the folks that are into gold and silver, they're kind of getting a little bit sham too, because if you actually think about the gold and silver market out there, and I'm not talking about the paper portion of it, which I would never buy paper gold. I want it in my hand if I'm going to buy it. But I watched a trend while I was, I bought a little bit of silver here and there, you know, but I watched a trend. Back in the day, I could buy like an ounce of silver for around about $7 or $8. And then it kept on going up and going up, and then eventually it got up there to like 30 some odd dollars, you know. And then I watched, suddenly the doggone silver started dropping again. So the guys out there who's got a fat load of cash have been going out buying up as much as they possibly can, you know, getting the price to be jacked way up, selling it, and leaving everybody else holding a bag with, instead of a $30 or more ounce of gold, they end up with a $20 ounce of gold. You see what I'm saying? They've been, like, manipulating the market by buying and selling it, like kind of like what you was talking about earlier, what they was trying to keep them from doing with Bitcoin.
Right. Or with the mega coin, because they can do it with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That's exactly it, though. I mean, there are large companies, large brokerages that have been caught with their cookie in the hand jar, or their hand in the cookie jar like that, where they basically, when the silver was up at a good height, they dump all their reserves on the market. And as soon as it dropped, then they'd buy them all back.
Yeah.
Yep. It's worse than that. They do a thing called naked short selling, where they sell gold that they don't even own. They might be selling your gold. Yeah.
And then they buy it back.
Honestly, that's one of the things that I keep pushing for on the money that I'm making. It's called the temporal reserve notes, to make them basically an energy producer. Instead of it just being a piece of paper or being a lump of metal that if you don't have any need for it, it basically has no value. No, this produces electricity from sunlight. And you can still carry it in your wallet.
Well, that'd be cool.
So that way, you, if you want to hang on to it and don't want to spend it, you're not. It's not just sitting in your wallet doing nothing for you. You can hang it up in a glass box or in the window and have it generate some of your electricity before you take it down and, you know, spend it for something you want.
So we need to make plutonium coins, man.
I don't know about radioactive coins. I did think about graphene battery coins. And basically, they're, you know, it's a rectangle shape, so it's, it would fit your cell phone or whatever. But it's in layers, and you get a special holder that basically you slip these into and then snap it into your cell phone, and you can charge it up. If you want to get a soda, you can take one of those layers out. It'll diminish how long your phone can stay charged between charges, but, you know, you can still trade that slip of battery off and get yourself a soda, you know.
But, you know, in the long term, what, the more solutions that we find like that, and they keep on trying to manipulate the good ideas that we got, you know, it's kind of like our back is against the wall, because every good idea we got, they come out with at least 10 bad ideas to counteract it, you know?
It. Yep.
We got to get around, first off, like you said, we got to take the money out of the politics, because that's where all the corruption lies. And if we can get the money out of politics and use these good ideas without having somebody trying to regulate away, you know, or like just a simple thing about charging you for being connected to the power grid with your solar panels, you know, and feeding them back electricity. That to me is ridiculous, you know, but yet they're doing it.
Well, there was a woman the other day, and she was totally off the grid, and the local council came along, somewhere in Michigan, I think, and they condemned her house and told her she has to leave her house, because as far as they were concerned, if she wasn't on the grid, it had to be a health hazard.
Yeah, I mean, that's a mess.
That was the law. That was the law they were using. So she's fighting them, you know, because she did some television documentary where she showed on television how she could successfully live off the grid. And, of course, that was like a red flag to a bull for the local authority in Michigan somewhere. And they came along and they knocked on the door and said, you have 72 hours to leave. This place is condemned as a health hazard. Now, they didn't check her place. They didn't verify anything. They just basically came along and used that law. But that's what we fight in Ireland with the sovereign system. We fight them on that because we choose not to recognize them. And this is where they get their problem.
Maybe,
you see,
maybe we should take some information away from what we've learned from the Amish communities, because they're pretty much living off the grid, and they're pretty much by themselves, and, you know, stay as far as they can away from any government, stuff like that. Maybe we need to start our own community like that, where we can live off the grid and do our own thing without having to worry about the regulations. But in order to do that, first you're going to have some guys or gals out there that know enough about the law to keep you back covered, because it seems like everyone who decides they want to do that, they get raided and their place gets burned down.
Or they end up with somebody coming in and doing it basically without even being a part of that system. Twin Oaks had something like that happen. I believe that was the intentional community, where basically they tried to take somebody in who had some mental illness issues, and he burned their kitchen down and tried to kill the guy who basically was running the entire place.
Man.
They're still recovering from that, from what I understand. So.
No, well, actually, the Amish managed in the 60s to get a special exclusion law made for them. So they're not subject to all the rules and regulations that everybody else is.
These are Kenites, though, am I correct?
You know, like with Obamacare, they're saying the way out of the Obamacare problem is to do what the Amish do. They made their own local healthcare system using the churches and things like that. So, like, when you get sick, you go to the hospital, and then the church will pick up the bill, and they pay the bill straight away, so they get big discounts, because they're not mucking around with 6 months waiting to pay the bill.
Right.
And because they got a big fund, they get all sorts of special discounts. So all the Amish put their money into these church kind of things, and I don't know exactly the exact mechanisms, but as a result of that, they're not subject to the, because they're not getting anything from the system, they're not subject to the rules of the system.
Yeah, that's the key right there.
Yeah, I'm sure they're pulling a little bit of string too there on religious freedom there.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, if you look, most of the laws in America, the best way out of most of the laws is claim a religious angle. For example, there was one woman I listened to, I think it was Alex Jones, and she said that they brought in a law that basically says that human beings are animals, and so therefore animals don't have human rights. And well, that's why they get away with everything in America, because by classing humans under the FDA, federal drugs and whatever you call it thing, as animals, well then animals don't have human rights. So that's why they're able to come along and try and force you to give, take certain medicines and things like that. But if she went into court and fought them, you know, on the Constitution and things like that, they'd run circles around her. So she realized the way to solve the problem was to go in and use religion. They were trampling on her religious convictions, and that stopped the case dead. You know, they wouldn't go near it with a barge pole, but so they left her alone. So sometimes you got
to... Now they have a new tactic, though, to try to fight against the religious angle, where basically if they really feel that your religion is allowing you to have things that they don't want you to have, then they'll just claim it's not a religion, it's a hate group.
Well, you know, they have already got a 501(c) tax-exempt status for churches these days, which essentially has the government's hand in the church. It tells the church that under this 501(c) tax-exempt status, you can't say certain things to your congregation, and you have to offer them a tax paper that will give them the opportunity to reclaim donations that they give to the church from off of their taxes. So essentially, the government found a way in the church. You see what I'm saying?
Of course. Yeah. There's never been a separation of church and state. So
yeah. On one hand, they want to yank God out of the schools and out of society, but on the other hand, they want to have their hands in the churches to control God. So, you know, it's kind of like practice what you preach, brother. If you're going to say separation of church and states, which, by the way, is not in the Constitution, you know, it just says that the government can't form a religion and force everybody to believe in that, and they can't, tell you what you... It's essentially religious freedom. You can believe whatever you want. But
in other words, they can't make laws that are religious-based.
Yeah, since they put the whole maneuver of separation of church and state into play, now that it's in the game, they're violating their own rule by putting their hands in the church via the 501(c) tax-exempt status.
Right.
Yeah, the Amish didn't fall into that trap.
The Amish say that they
don't do dollars. The Amish pretty well run their own society.
Right.
And they don't take anything from the system, and they don't give anything to the system.
They're totally self-sufficient, too, as long as you don't take their land from them.
Well, this is it.
They don't need anybody else,
Well, and there's another trick to it, too. There's two different words that you need to remember when it comes to real estate. One is private property, and the other is residential property. And a lot of people don't understand when they buy property out there to put their house on. If your house is listed as residential property, they can tax you on that house. However, if your house is listed as private property, they can't tax you on that house. However, you don't get any assistance like the city or the state won't come in and repair the roads. You have to maintain your own roads. You have to maintain your own stuff, whatever the city would have normally done, such as maybe de-icing the roads during a storm or something like that. It's on you because it's private property.
That'd be the way to go anyway, because if we were doing all this work ourselves as a community, we'd be doing it for a lot less effort and money. I mean, for every $100 you give in taxes that go to repairing and building roads, you're getting $10 worth of road if you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. See, and with the residential on your property there, then that gives them the opportunity to tax you. And if you notice that every time they go to vote for, like, a school tax or whatever, you know, it always passes. You know, you got to take care of the schools, and so your property taxes every year keep going up. And the more property you own, the more taxes you pay. You buy a car, and you still got to pay taxes on it every year. You know, you paid cash for this car. You own it.
That's exactly where the fallacy that everyone seems to think that the government taking half of your paycheck is incorrect. Because they look at their paycheck and they're like, well, they only took like 20-30% or 15% if you're running with basically a bunch of tax exemptions and whatnot. But they're not thinking about the fact that when they go back out to spend the remainder of that check that they were allowed to keep, every time they spend it, they're getting taxed on it. And then whatever they buy, certain things that they get to hang on to for an extended period of time, they have to keep paying tax on it in order to keep maintaining it.
Oh, yeah. You got to pay fuel taxes. You got to pay taxes for everything under the sun. They tax you to breathe. They're going to throw you in jail if you collect water in some places.
Right. Well, and if you look at all these taxes, if you make a decent amount of money, so you can buy a lot of things that will be around for quite a while. You look at how much money you paid out in taxes on maintaining those things. Instead of 50% of your money going into taxes, it's more like 75%. So you're only getting to keep a quarter out of every dollar you earn.
Yeah.
Somebody, you're working for somebody else 70, you know, three quarters of the hour.
You know, if the voting system wasn't rigged, which I believe it fully is rigged, and I fully believe that it's manipulated, and that's the old conspiracy tinfoil hat wear guy in me.
Hey, you don't have to believe anything. It's absolutely true. When we voted as a people for a specific president, and it's happened several times. If you look it up, and just look at moments where basically the Electoral Congress basically went against the will of the people to vote to put somebody else in office.
Yeah,
that right there will show you when they have actually decided who and what they're going to do, regardless of what your wishes or demands are. And in a true democracy, that cannot happen.
But just let's just say hypothetically. And by the way, our country was set up as a representative republic, which is a far cry from democracy. But either way, that's neither here nor there. Let's just say, hypothetically, the voting system wasn't rigged. It was all on the up and up. Everybody was honest, and there wasn't no dead people voting and all that, so on and so forth. Okay, let me ask you a question first. Would you give a monkey a gun? No.
Depends on whether it's loaded or not.
I'm talking, you're going to give this guy a fully automatic loaded assault rifle from hell.
Heck no. With
grenade launchers and everything. You're going to give him the works.
No, I'm the guy that basically thinks that they should be instituting MRIs on anybody who wants to have a gun. And you don't have to leave this on. You basically don't have to tell them what all guns you buy, but to be allowed to buy certain types of guns, they have to be able to see if you're a psychopath or not.
Well, I'm sure, but we've given the government guns, so, you know, essentially, when you pull that lever, you're handing a monkey a gun. That's all there is to it.
That's why I keep saying we need all these cameras we got. They're just pointing, the security cameras we have are pointed the wrong direction. They need to be pointed back at the most dangerous people in our country, which is our politicians and the people who basically pull the strings.
You know, and the police department, you know, serve and protect was the motto, you know. It used to say that on the side of the patrol cars, but I've noticed it here recently. You don't see that on any patrol cars anywhere, unless you find some small town that really still believes in the whole deal of serve and protect. But the way the law is set up,
they're still asleep, so they can believe the American dream.
The way the law is set up is that the police officer can pull you over, do a stop and frisk, and all that kind of stuff. You know, put his hands all over you. But if for some reason in that process you happen to accidentally or intentionally put your hand on that officer, that's assault.
Yep.
If he punches you in your gut and you spit up blood and spit in his face, that's assault.
Ridiculous.
So, you know, That's why I'm saying. I know it sounds crazy, but I think that if I could build me a rocket and have a monkey co-pilot, or even if you guys want to jazz up in a monkey suit to make this whole trip more exciting, you know, I want to go. Because this rock's getting crazy, man. You know?
Well, I did talk about the idea of basically doing the Ayn Rand Atlantis. That's basically where you find some place that they can't find you. You set up a little hole to live in, and you start building a community where you draw in all the brightest people, the smartest people that are out there in the industry, so they can't find anybody to run their machines. Let it fall, you know?
I'm hip. You know, I've even had thoughts sometimes about, like, just starting to dig underneath my house and just keep on digging and digging and dig me a huge bunker, you know. Have my friends and neighbors, every time they come over, I'll hand them a bucket of dirt and say, hey, go throw this in your garden, man. It's good soil.
what do you think about the idea of using, like, all this waste plastic that we have to build floating islands?
Well, you know, hey, it works. Back in the day when I was a kid, we used to take the old bleach bottles and some chicken wire and some plywood and 2x4s, and we used to make what's called jug rafts. And I even had one that had a sail on it, man.
Well, and I mean, how many 2-liter bottles and all kinds of other types of bottles do you see?
Oh, yeah, you can get them for free. People throw them away every day. Tell your neighbors, say, hey, man, when you're done with that bleach bottle, save it for me, you know?
Right. Well, the thing is that, you know, the if you're going to get serious about that idea, is that there is a tremendous amount of waste plastic that's in the ocean already.
Yeah, all you need to do is go out there and get you some fish nets and start dragging that up and then start building you a platform on it.
Actually, let's step back on that. You don't even have to drag. If you can put yourself somewhere stationary, the ocean currents will bring it to you.
Well, there you go. Hey, I like delivery service.
Well, now here's the thing, though. The benefit of that is that the fish are strong enough, they can swim against that current to keep from getting caught. So you don't have to worry about sorting out the fish from the plastic either.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So there's some kid that basically did a TED Talks on this, and why no one's already, you know, thrown together a Kickstarter and gotten themselves busy on that, I don't know. But, you know, plastic can be turned into so many different things because it is basically a complex version of those things.
Yeah, you can use it for fuel. Over in Europe, they were turning it into petrol.
Well, I was going to say they're doing it in Japan, too. That was actually the basis of my idea of turning ethanol from weeds, of any source of plant matter that basically has any kind of sugar in it, turning that ethanol into crude oil and then refining it ourselves to make our own oil.
So here you got a couple guys that don't have access to all the high-tech equipment that all these corporations, and we've got solutions and ideas for everything under the sun, but yet here we can't get everybody on board to do this. Something's not right with this picture, man.
Right. Well, that's why I said about the networking thing, to bring the people who are willing to do this together, because there are a lot of us that are still basically sitting on the chair with our arms on the armrest because we don't have the resources we need. I'm sitting on a mill right here that I can cut things so small with a few adjustments. I could be cutting my own CPUs, my own processors. I can cut nanometer sized units, but I don't have all the resources to throw on that thing to do the cutting. You got people that I was just talking to yesterday that are down in Texas that do have some of those resources, but they don't have the high-tech machinery for cutting it up.
Well, you know,
we need to get together. We need to come together.
You're right. We need to actually, while we're doing this network, build an inventory system, because right now I'm sitting on a gold mine of old vacuum tubes, you know, and vacuum tubes are good for, like, a, you know, they don't they're not affected by an electromagnetic pulse. But I was gifted an entire TV repair shop, so I've got brand new vacuum tubes in the box that never even been used, and somebody out there could use those, you know. And so,
if
I inventoried everything that I got, my resources that people could look on and say, hey, you know, I sure could use one of them vacuum tubes, and, you know, I'll swap you this roll of wire over here for that tube, and
You know what we need before that?
What's that?
Before you start building an inventory, we need a roster. We need to build a roster of all those people that are involved in this, then we can start tagging the inventory to those people, so you know who to ask for what.
Yeah,
and who to contact it and find out what they need too.
I would be into that.
So, guys, a very important thing I think that we have to look into is, you know, the way all these modern cars are coming with these microchips, and they're all what I would call proprietary technology. We right. seriously need to make some form of Linux-based solution to replace the electronics in the modern cars. Because
that wouldn't be that hard to do. Our Arduino chips are very easy to program. They're very cheap to buy, and they'll handle all the same processes that those chips that are in our cars are doing right now. So if you really want it, we can find a few people to do some programming. I can whip up some parts on my mill, and we can replace the components that are in your car that we can program for, like, you know, so you can switch it from running off of gasoline to running off of hydrogen or running off of pure alcohol, whatever.
Well, it's really because the problem at the moment, I mean, all cars in America are now hijackable by the government. You can be driving your car along the road. I don't know if you've seen these videos where all the cars are sending out a radio signal telling the government where you are. All the cars can have their engines switched off because some cop comes up behind you and decides he wants you to stop, and, you know, he points a device at your car and makes your engine stop. Now, you can't disable these small bits that you would like to get rid of. Because
your car won't run without
it. Yeah, if you just try to disable one piece of what they've done, then you're banjacked. So there, in my opinion, there's a huge demand for a Linux-based, open-source module that could... Yeah, replace totally the modern electronics in the modern car.
You know what that's going to stop if we can get that into place, too, because you know what this is all leading to. It's not so much about controlling who's going where. It's a lot more about knowing how many miles you've driven so they can start instituting a tax for every mile you drive your vehicle.
Well, this is it, because they're preparing for the day when some bright spark will invent a car that runs on water. And so they want to tax the cars. If they can't tax
mileage.
The petrol, they're going to tax it by the mileage.
Right.
So the solution to the problem is to bring in open source electronics so we can rip out the proprietary electronics and replace
right.
it with our own.
Yeah, and then they'll probably get you for tampering with the vehicle. One of the things that can...
No, they can't really.
Now, hold on. Step back a second. This is important. Really important, and this applies to everything we've been talking about. If we do this underground now, while it's still legal, they'll never know to make it illegal.
They
have to know there's a problem for them to make a law against it, so we don't let them know.
But my concern about the whole situation as it stands right now is, you know, I'm tooling down the road. I just got off the Knights of the Round Table, and I'm talking about how the government sucks and saying hi to the NSA and the TSA and the FBI and the DA and everybody spying in on us, you know. So I'm tooling down the road in my car, and I'm listening to Molly Hatchet flirting with disaster. Suddenly somebody shuts my car off and runs me off a ravine. I'm going to be pissed.
And it's totally foreseeable. I mean, we can see this happening. So it needs to be addressed.
They can come up behind your car with the right equipment, and if you've got any car that's from the year 2008 in America, and they can make your accelerator go full power, they can make your brakes stop working, and they can stop your steering turning. So as you're coming up to that sharp bend on the seacoast with a 500-foot drop, they can put your car over the edge.
Well, when that happens, we just hold hands like Thelma and Louise and go over the cliff and holler Yahoo.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to survive that one. And they have done it. I mean, that's how they took out that reporter the other day in California.
Well, if anybody who ever bucks the system somehow or another has an accident or a heart attack or a plane crash or, you know, something like that.
Oh. Speaking of which, you're talking about these people who are getting taken out anytime they have a problem with them. The last two presidents that were assassinated wanted to try to eliminate the Federal Reserve, remember, if you recall.
Yep.
Well, guess what's coming up this month?
What's coming up this month?
This month they have to renew the law that enables the Federal Reserve to continue being the one in control of our money and printing our money.
Oh, well then somebody needs to get on the horn and start shouting that loud so everybody can say to get rid of it.
And here's the problem, though. They're going to vote, since it falls right at the time that it does, they're basically, when it was initially voted in 100 years ago, it was done right during Christmas, when there was next to no one in office. They're all home.
Yeah, the 24th, Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so they'll do it again this time, and they'll all they have to do is basically control the four or five politicians that are the Congress members that are still in there and in office, and it'll push on through again without even a hitch.
Man, we're getting screwed, man.
This is what we need to do: is we need to tell these politicians, look, if you don't stay there and vote this down, you're not going to be there next term.
That's what needs to be done.
We're going to vote you out. You're gone.
We need to clean house. We need to take and clean. If they've been in there longer than 5-10 years, they need to go.
Atomic boot time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I started off the show talking about monkeys in space, man, and that makes more sense than what's going on down here on Earth, Seriously, I think if I was a monkey, I'd get all my brothers and sisters and climb aboard one of them ships, and we just, not come back and give them the atomic finger on the way out,
Head for Planet X.
Yeah, there you go. But, it just... It drives me insane, and I know we've been sitting around talking. You said a little while ago about how some of us are kind of like on the armchair. We got the certain things that we can do, but we got a lot of things that we can't do because of resources. And it drives me flat out bonkers because I got so many designs and so many ideas of alternative energy devices that I know 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt will work. It's just actually putting them together in precision that I have the problem with. I'm working on a neodymium magnet accelerator, which works almost identical to a particle accelerator, but it retrieves energy as these magnets are spinning around in circles. And just to try to bend the proper size of plastic so that the 3/4 ball will fit inside there, it's like a nightmare, I tried heating it up with a hairdryer, tried to get it, but you can't get the very ends to bend over flush to make it a perfect circle. Now, if I had access to some sort of mold that I could make my own cylinder, I could get this project done on the road and it'd be working. With my plasma reactor, same doggone thing. Ever since I started with this thing, I've had leak after leak after leak, and then I finally encased it in resin thinking I was going to stop the leaks, and I'll be doggone, it got cold in here and that sucker cracked, man.
Yeah, I've seen that there's the clear solar cells that I've been using styrene to for the body does not want to bond to anything. So after they're left sitting out for a little while, long before they even stop working like they're supposed to, they'll actually detach them. Like, I used LCD screens. I cracked the LCD screens open to get to the inside, which is, it basically has a clear conductor on the inside of it. And I was putting my my coatings on those. And after a little while, after they fully dry out and all, they eventually split and come loose from that and just peel off.
Well, like I said, man, it's frustrating. We got the solutions, we got the ideas, we don't have the resources. We're trying to build a network of resources and people come together, and I think we're doing a fine job on that. We still need to get the doggone virtual labs up and running so that, somebody over in another country can look inside my lab and see what I'm working on and help me troubleshoot problems, and I can do the same for them and so forth and so on. And at the same time, we need a group of individuals out there who can actually watch our back while we do this,
Right.
Legally.
Well, the other thing would be to institute a mailing system, too. So, if you need a part, somebody can send me the materials to make the part, and then I can box the part up and send it down there to get it to you so you can finish assembling whatever it is you're working on.
Yeah,
so
and that was
feel
a,
like that.
That was a portion of the virtual labs idea, was that we would have, a direct link to eBay that if somebody needed a part, we can jump on there, find it, buy it, ship it straight out to them, and, call it a day and go on to the next project while they're waiting for their materials and stuff.
And right.
So if we got this thing situated and people actually started using it and, you know, working on ideas, man, I'm telling you, all these alternative energies guys out here who have been working for years trying to get something solved, I watch a lot of videos where I see problems in their system, and I put a message in there, and they try it out, and it works, you know. And mm-hmm. people have done that for me. So, you know, it can be done. It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Right. We just need to do it. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, we've got to keep on keeping on with, like, shows like the Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science and all the other network radio shows that we've got going on, because this is our only option at the moment, you know. You can't just go over to Ireland anytime you want, because financially it's not plausible.
Right. Mark, I think, is almost done with the Virtual Labs, the server side of the Virtual Labs thing. I don't know. It was while I was talking to Cultus, he said something about that. So it sounds like they're pretty close to being to where they need to be, so they can get that kicked off. So,
well, that's great news, because any step forward beats 10 steps back, brother.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's just I like I said, man, I look out into the world, I see everything, and I know there's a better way than what we're doing. And until we, the people, actually take the reins of our own lives, it's not going to change, you know. As long as, essentially, I liken the actual taxpayer to a drug addict, you know. you're addicted.
True.
You're addicted to it. You know, you're addicted to the system.
The same people who are on some sort of government subsidy program, too, they're addicted to that subsidy program.
Yeah.
And, they're the addict, whereas, you know, the payout is the entity that's doing the paying out is actually the responsible party for getting them addicted. Whether
yep.
it's a corporation or it's an individual, doesn't matter.
And these guys up there at the top, you know, even though they're in the minority, they are shifty characters with a lot of tricks. And every time you think that you got one over on them, they find some other loophole to, just kind of get their hands into stuff. So,
yeah, we need to do something off the books, man.
Yeah, we need to use their loopholes against them, you know. Like, for
yeah.
instance, there's a small town that's not too far away from me, and the power company actually makes money off of their land because they have their equipment on their property. So each person that lives in that town actually gets paid on a monthly basis a portion of what the power company
makes.
Yeah. And so we need to find all the loopholes in the law that say that if the power company doesn't have an easement across your land and they're making money off of your land, then they need to pay you for, you know, your time, your land. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But these are things that need to be, like, researched into really deep and, you know, put together in a PDF form or a book form and just shipped out to every average Joe under the sun so that they know, you know?
I think one of the first things we might consider if we're going to get serious about doing something like this is how to set up communal workshops. I've been working on trying to put something like that together here. I have tons of tools. And I would have more resources to work with if I had more room to store them whenever I come across them. And I know that there are other people, too, in this town here where I'm at, here in Tulsa, that would come down and utilize the place. So, you know, it's really going to come down to we need to do some research on how to go about keeping the man's finger out of our, out of our pockets. Because, you know, if we don't have a whole lot of money once we get set up to keep it going, so that we can afford to be taxed on top of everything, then, you know, that it's not going to last for very long.
Yeah, that's the key,
man. And there's got to be a way to stop doing that.
Well, as far as storage capacity, we could take up, you know, maybe design a membership or something, you know, for folks that want to actually be involved in it, you know, and then use whatever fees that we decide upon to buy storage space at these storage facilities so that you can store inventory for projects you're working on or whatever, you know.
Right. Well, I've looked into renting a place here
And I've found a few places, like, for about $600-$700 a month that I can get that are about 60,000 square feet.
That's pretty good size space, man.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, industrial area. So, I mean, if we want to build a 20-foot-tall Tesla coil to do some experimenting to, like, try to send power to cultists or send it down to you, they, you know, they wouldn't have any problem with that.
Well, and then also that, you know, we, especially over here in America, we waste so much stuff. There's so much stuff thrown off in dumps and landfills
yep.
and off in the ditch. Instead of shipping that off to the dump or a landfill or, you know, whatever, ship it off to somebody who could use some parts out of that thing, you know, recycle it.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
And we there, could,
I've run across a number of things like that. Like, they're used to, I don't know if you're familiar with who Nordam is.
Uh-uh.
But they're centered out of here, and they make, from what I understand, about 63% to 64% of all of the windows and all of the transparent components that are used by Boeing and other aircraft industries. You know, it's all Lexan, almost entirely all Lexan, and they used to have a dumpster that they would set out, and you could come by, and for like 10 cents a pound, you could take as much of that stuff as you wanted.
Well, there you go, man. I worked for a glass company years ago. They made auto windshields, and these guys would throw away thousands of dollars worth of windshields. And I told the manager, I said, you know, instead of throwing those away, why don't you load up that glass truck and take it down to the flea market and sell them for $20 a pop and recuperate some of the money off of those that glass? You know, he told me that they would rather throw it in the trash than to sell it to somebody for $20. Because
well, there's one issue with selling it for $20, because even if you can recuperate $20 out of the market you couldn't get to normally like that, if it's something like that where they're liable because it's a product that the person is relying on for their protection, they're actually in they can basically end up in a lot more financial obligation than they made off of the sale.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but like if you know, you put on there, you know, you're buying this as is at your own risk. If anything goes wrong with it or whatever, you know, it's yours. It's kind of like my uncle. He had a guarantee on any car he would sell. The guy said, "Do you guarantee this car?" And he said, "Yeah, I guarantee that if you drive that car off of this lot and get out in the middle of the street and it falls in half, then both pieces are yours."
Yeah, see, they have lemon laws against that now. You can't get away with that. Well, even if you got somebody to sign it, they would tell you, "Sorry, that won't hold up in court." You know?
Well, then we're going to have to figure out a better way around it then. Just
dumpster
diving.
Right, I saw the way that they did that. And what they do here is they put it out, and if you take it, it's theft. If you take it from their dumpster, it's theft. So if you take something and you use it, and it doesn't work the way you want it to, you get hurt or something, you can't come back on them because you stole it from them.
Oh, so see
here. They don't watch you. They don't watch you. It's like, well, we're not going to sit out there and pay somebody to make sure nobody steals it, man. We care.
Once again, we're back to the point where the government doesn't practice what they preach, because if you set your trash out on the curb, your trash becomes public domain and the FBI and all them can go snooping your trash.
Right.
But yeah, well, if you go digging their trash,
if your
it's espionage. You
have them arrested, but you can't do it for the police sticking their nose in it. Yeah.
See? You know what? They got it's like playing Monopoly with my older brother. My older brother, when he plays Monopoly, he's always the banker for some reason.
He always wins.
I look over there and he's got no houses, and then I go to the bathroom, come back, I sit down, I take a drink of my coffee, and I look over there and he's got motels on all his properties, and I'm saying, "What the heck?" And he's got a wad of $500 bills in his hand as well.
Oh, man.
And to keep my little brother from squealing on him, he's sliding $500 bills under the table to my little brother, so he bought him off.
Oh, man. So he knows how the system works then.
Yeah. He's got it down pat.
I got another thing. I want to try to push this again. Okay. There are a lot of chemicals that you can make out of really cheap resources with nothing more than DC power. Well, DC power costs money to make, right?
Yeah.
But the cheapest way you can make it that I've been finding is with solar cells, because you can buy them for about 15 cents a watt. Okay? the solar cells are not the expensive part of putting your house on electric. You got to buy all kinds of equipment to basically make all of your components in your house run off of the power that solar cells produce. But the power that they are producing is perfect just as it is to do something like, say, turning salt water into bleach, or turning, you know, if you use a membrane cell, turning salt water into sodium hydroxide and a multitude of different things you can make with the chlorine that comes out of the salt. And those products, like when you dry the sodium hydroxide up, that lye can be sold for a lot more than what the salt sells for.
Huh.
So you could literally buy the solar cells, set up some simple systems that basically you just come back after they're done. You don't have to do anything more than stick the electrodes in there, make sure there's enough salt dumped into that water, and then walk off and come back a day or two later and collect your powdered lye and put it in a plastic bag and ship it off to somebody, right? And get your money out of that. And then, you know, if you really want to run your house off of solar, you can use the money that you're getting from that to buy those other more expensive components and get you, you know, at least, there's a way to get around this system we've got right now. It's got to be done. And that's one of the things that I was looking at, was a more simple solution for converting solar power into something useful for us. So, you know, you got those people who are talking about, fuel cells. You need hydrogen for it. Well, you can crack water with solar cells and store that. You can, you know, use it to crack it and run it across a catalyst and make fuels to burn in things, you know. All stuff that you can make at home. That glass you were talking about that they throw away. They have a place like that here, but they smash the windows.
Well, and these guys don't. They just throw them in the dumpster, man.
Right. Well, the what they're doing here, they're smashing them. But, I mean, they're basically in a perfect shape at that point once they're smashed, because they usually crumble, especially the ones that are basically a tempered glass for protection. They break in those little, like, almost like little cubes of glass. You can take all of that with your sodium hydroxide and dissolve that in sodium hydroxide to make water glass. And there's a ton of uses for that. I mean, people are making batteries using that and all kinds of stuff.
Well,
so,
as far as resources go, there's so much trash around this doggone country. You could go out and get all the glass bottles you want, and there's got to be a way to melt them down and recycle them and use them for other alternative deals, you know. But you don't see it. You just don't see anybody doing it.
Right. Well, one of those other things, too, that same membrane cell I mentioned making lye and chlorine gas from, if you, instead of salt and table salt, if you use Epsom salts, you can get pure magnesium metal out of that and sulfuric acid. You can split those two components apart and, you know, you've seen how cheap Epsom salt is.
Yep.
You can buy it in Walmart here, 88 cents for 2 pounds. Out of 2 pounds, I can get almost a pound of magnesium metal out of that. How much does a pound of magnesium sell for?
do you do any YouTube videos on that?
I do one every now and then, but I'm really bad at actually recording the stuff that I'm working on. Usually I do things, too, to make sure I can do them, and then if I get time and to go back and do them again and I need to do them again, then I'll bust out the video camera and set it up.
Because those are some really good ideas, man. I'm telling you, you really ought to, like, get into doing some serious YouTubing on that kind of deal.
Yeah. Thomas, can you make methanol at all from natural gas?
I'm sure it can be. I'll have to figure out how to do it. There's one of the big things you probably have to rely on to do it efficiently is to make yourself some custom zeolites. You basically take the natural gas. You have to get a sample of the natural gas, and you grow your zeolites around the natural gas. And when it releases the natural gas, you can pump that methanol in there, and then the zeolites will break the methanol apart and reassemble it into the natural gas configuration to make the molecules and spit them out.
Oh yeah, but what I want to do is I want to turn natural gas into methanol, because methanol is far more convenient for storage than natural gas.
Right. And what about using ethanol instead of methanol?
Well, maybe ethanol as well. For fuel, for running your car, fuel for heating. If your natural gas suffers the problem that you're dependent on them shipping it into you,
right,
and you know, they can cut it off at any time. But if you could convert it into a useful fuel like alcohol and methanol, you can run your car, run your heating, and have a big tank. And now, as far as
I'm sure with zeolites, you could do the process both directions too. So you could convert it from natural gas into methanol, store it away, and then when they cut you off, you can convert it back to natural gas and burn it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I know that the way they normally make methanol is they pass it over platinum with steam, and it recombines and forms methanol. That, to my knowledge, is how methanol is made, in big plants.
Okay, so the natural gas is essentially the methyl molecule without the the enol at the end of the ethanol, and methanol is basically just a half of a water atom. So
yeah. So the steam joins up with the natural gas, and you get methanol.
Right.
And I mean, methanol is a really, really useful fuel. It's far more powerful than gasoline.
Well, the easiest way that I know how to make natural gas is eat some Cowboy Billy baked beans, brother.
Well, well, you see, this is it. The natural gas is hard to fit in, you know, tanks in the car. You know, they run cars on natural gas, but the tanks are under pressure and all sorts of stuff. Methanol pours in just like gasoline, and it's far more powerful than petrol per kilogram. So, a 1 liter engine will perform more like a 2 liter engine if it's properly modified.
Right.
Well, so here's
I was just looking at something that showed how to basically take butanol and turn it into isobutanol so that it basically just basically blows up the octane rating of your fuel.
So
yeah, well, that can help also. I mean, if you can have mixes of ethanol will mix very happily with petrol, but gasoline, but methanol won't. It eats up all there's some sort of chemical reaction with aluminium, and a lot of modern cars won't get on. You have to completely convert the car, all the rubber and everything, to be methanol compatible. Mm. Where with alcohol and mixing with gasoline, you don't get those kind of issues.
Right.
But I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, it doesn't really matter if you convert it into ethanol or butanol. I mean, butanol is exactly like gasoline, to my knowledge. You just put straight in, and your car off it goes. It's no conversions, no nothing.
Well, I also say that aluminum parts, if you need to protect them too, there's a simple way to do that, and that's just basically to soak that in water and just electrocute the crap out of it. You hit that with a really high voltage, a DC power, and keep that on it. It'll build up a really strong, thick layer of oxide, and not much is going to get through that. They actually use that to coat the insides of aluminum engines so that you can jam those pistons back and forth inside the cylinder, those aluminum cylinders, without scratching them up.
Well, once again, we're back to common sense, man. I'm sitting here listening to all the different solutions and all the different ways by which you can make different fuels that are better than the fuels that are being used out there. Do you think if we got this knowledge in our head that those guys out there who are actually building these cars and selling the fuel and electricity and everything that we use, all the resources, you think they don't know this kind of stuff? And yet, here we are.
That's just it. They do, yeah. It doesn't make them any money, though. They don't want to fix something that the money system that's not broken for them right now. It's the table slanted their way. They're not going to fix the table to level it back up for us.
I watched a documentary some time back about guys like J.P. Morgan and all the big wigs from back in the early days, and the big wars that they had, and the monopolies that they were getting on and everything. And then eventually they made this kind of like an anti-monopoly law or whatever. I can't remember what the heck that was. Do you? They made a law work.
Antitrust law.
Yeah, that's it.
So these guys couldn't have a monopoly on it. But even after the whole antitrust law, they still figured out ways, loopholes around the antitrust law in order to still keep a monopoly on everything.
Right.
And they've been doing
it. The biggest one is sell half your company off to your brother and stay on good terms with your brother.
Yeah. So
that's called a cartel.
So here you go.
Most of America industry is a cartel. I mean the Rockefellers and the Morgans and all these people, they work as a cartel and they own about 60% of all the assets in the United States.
Well, so and we have two ways to get away from that. We can either find a way to make those guys turn on each other and turn it back into an actual competition like it should have been. And there's some ways. I've got this site. It's called RebelConsumerAlliance.com, where like I give tools to, you know, I've set up tools basically where the average consumer can use that. We're still working on an application to run on phones to make the networking more efficient and make it more decentralized like Bitcoin. But it's either that or you do the other step that I've got in there, which is called the produce cot, where you boycott buying anything that you can make yourself.
Yeah, there you go.
Or that you know somebody that makes it, and you trade it around back and forth.
Well, the way that they got it set up there, like, you know, for example, there's a company out there, and it cracks me up, because there's a company out there that sells smokes, you know, cigarettes, and so they will sell, like, this one brand of cigarette for a really high price, and everybody will say, you know, screw that company, I'm not going to buy that pack of smokes for $5 a pack. I'll go over and buy from this company over here that sells them for $2 a pack. And then you look at the doggone label on the thing, and it's the same damn company.
Right. They just basically cut corners, and it ends up being a nastier-tasting cigarette. The reason they make those things, too, they Leap, or is it Leap? Leap Communications got together with all the other communication industry leaders, and they said, how can we get this massive market of people that you guys are not tapping into cell phones so we can make money off of them? And that's where they came up with the idea of the Cricket phone.
Well,
the prepaid, no frills, no contract agreement that gets you into a phone so they can pull that money out of your pocket, because they knew it wasn't costing them what they were making off the cell phones they had out.
Well, something just as funny as that is the fact that, have you ever noticed when you go to watch TV, the commercials will come on, so you'll say, I ain't watching this commercial, and you'll flip to another channel, and it's commercials, and they're all timed out exactly the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Where the commercials, you're forced to watch them whether you like it or not.
Yeah. That's why they don't like the internet. That's the big thing that keeps them from liking the internet, because you can watch, and I never watch anything on TV. I don't even own a TV. Everything I watch it on my computer, when I want, where I want. And because they didn't get in line and get themselves set up to broadcast on the internet with these requirements to make it available when I want it, how I want it, so that they could insert their commercials on it, they lost out, because now I watch all those shows and they don't have any commercials.
Well, you know what? Every time we got to keep on finding those kind of loopholes and keep on spreading the word, because they're closing them as fast as they can. You know, I get all these updates off of Microsoft, and I know exactly what they're doing. I mean, you say, no, I don't want this update, and then when you shut your computer off, it automatically updates.
Oh, I got that turned off. That mine doesn't automatically update.
Yeah,
it just always has a little X down there saying, "Hey, can you do this?" Like, no, I'm not going to.
Read the doggone.
My computer works just fine. Why would I want to break it?
Read the doggone terms of service, man.
Oh yeah. Well, there, like I said, there's settings in there. You can turn those things off.
Yeah, but you got to do.
You have to know how to do it. That's the thing.
You got to do them frequently, because every time you turn around, they figure out a way to flip them back on. You know,
I haven't had any problems with that yet. I'm running Windows 7 Ultimate, though, so...
Yeah, well, I'm still on the older systems.
This particular data package was actually sent out to a developer. That's how I got it. He gave it to me with the computer he gave me, so...
This has been a fascinating discussion. We're down to the last hour of the show. You guys want to take a quick music break and play a couple tunes and go get some coffee and stuff?
Yes. Please.
All right, well, let's do that. Let's throw on a couple tunes. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and we'll be back right shortly. Peace and love, everybody.
Thanks, man.
Well, take me back
Shaziz the Turbo. All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We've been joined by Muddy Muddy Mudman, and we have Thomas and Dublin, all our honorable knights over there. And everybody who knows old King Shaziz the Terrible knows that my on-the-record record shows that there is no off-the-record record, so make a record of that. We're talking about putting monkeys in space with guns. What do you think, man?
All hell, King Shaziz.
I mean, the common sense going on down here is kind of lacking, so what the heck? Let's invade space with monkeys with guns, man. We could have one of them, like, Planet of the Apes type scenarios. What do you think?
I think you're stepping on copywritten material there. That sounds like something from Funker Voe. They have a song called This World, and their whole gist of the song is this whole world was built for wars, and then, you know, when we're done destroying and ripping up our world, we launch it all into space and invade other worlds with it.
Well, see, just when you think you thought of it all, it's already been done. So, you know, like, you know,
everything's derivative. That's all right. Let's make something. You know, stop worrying about whether somebody else did it, and let's make something.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Think you're biased.
Just.
I think you're biased, because yesterday I saw where Paula thought she broke it, and you said, no, that's why they got trained monkeys like me, and that was you saying that.
Yeah. So, well,
you're biased and prejudiced, and got your thumbs up to monkeys, so.
Well, how bad could it be having a monkey co-pilot, you know? It'd be exciting. It'd be funny. You look over and he's got that big old... You look over at him and he's got that big old chimpanzee grin while he's getting ready to hit the warp drive button that says do not touch under any circumstances.
So, can he resist it?
No, I can't!
That's the best way to get... That's the best way to get anybody to do anything. Put a sign on it that it says you can't do it. And they'll do it.
If you want something to spread, tell them, hey, don't tell anybody, but...
It's a secret.
And boy, that would spread so fast.
Yeah, if you want the word out, tell Muddy.
Oh, man, you've been busted.
Just pulling your leg, man. Oh, seriously, man, all the crazy stuff going on in this world, it makes about as much sense as giving a monkey a doggone gun, man, because... I said it earlier. I don't know if you guys ever saw that old Tarzan movie where the monkey got a hold of the gun and he was just like shooting everybody in sight. I mean, the monkey's having a blast, but everybody else is out there dancing around. You know, you ever seen like them old cowboy movies where the cowboy will say dance and he'll start shooting at your feet?
Yep.
I'd be doing the two-step, man.
Yeah, Lester, I think he's getting a little better at it now.
Oh, man. What a world we live in, though, man. The Iranians sent their second monkey into space. The Chinese have just landed a rover on the moon, and supposedly we're at Mars. And just kind of ironic, though, that some of the pictures that they send back, number one, are very crappy resolutions. When the Chinese put a doggone spaceship on the moon, they get some really high-res pictures, you know. How's that go about? You know, but if you look at the doggone pictures of the rover that the rover supposedly took and the self-portrait that the rover supposedly took, then one has to question, you're going to send millions of dollars worth of equipment from here all the way over to Mars. Couldn't you at least send a high-res camera that you can get some really good photos to see what's going on? But you match them pictures up with the Atacama Desert, and for some reason, they're kind of built alike. Is that a conspiracy theory?
I would say if something like that's going on, it's not because it can't be done. They're doing that because they basically want to save money. Well, it'd be a lot cheaper to tax everybody to death for going to the moon and then not actually go to the moon, just pocket the money.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of people that say we never did go to the moon.
Well, that I have to disagree with, though, because I have actually looked with a friend with a very powerful telescope, and I can see the footprints. And I've seen the leftover equipment that was placed up there, so You know, unless they put up robots up there to do that walking around.
I too think...
Did somebody replace the American flag with the rebel flag?
I too...
I don't know if I'm all that for a rebel flag any more than I'm for an American flag, but it would be nice to replace it with something, because, by God, they aren't up there, so how can they claim it, you know?
Well, you know what? Here's the conspiracy guy in me. First off, on the flag deal, if they send me to Mars, if I get to be the first man to go to Mars, I'm throwing up my own flag when I get there and saying, "Ah, sorry, sucker, thanks for the ride." You know, I might make my flag out of some smiley face boxers or something like that. But the conspiracy guy in me thinks...
Or that old logo you used to have for a picture on Skype, that one with the glowing eyes. And,
yeah.
yeah, look like the Grim Reaper.
Because call it Shazizville. Anyway, the tinfoil hat guy in me kind of thinks that if they really did go to Mars, then maybe they saw something there that they didn't want us to see. So as opposed to showing us what's really on Mars, they show us what's in the Atacama Desert and change the hue on it to be red to make it look like the red planet. If you take any of them pictures and put them into your paintbrush program and move around the hue and the saturation, you will start getting blue skies and green and all different colors in there. So, you know, it's a conspiracy, I guess. You know, would NASA really kind of like, you know, not tell us the full truth on anything? You know, seriously?
Well, considering how bad their funding has been cut, I mean, I can imagine them doing anything they could to save their fat, you know, from the frying pan.
But you can always trust your government. I mean, come on.
That's just it, though. We can't trust anybody, man. Government or not, man. They're everybody seems to have their own agenda, and they just, I don't know, they're too disconnected and isolated to be able to realize or care about how they're affecting other people.
Well, I care, and my agenda is as simple as this. I'm looking out, and I'm seeing all the lack of common sense, and I'm pointing it out. What sense?
You're not an organization, though. You're an individual.
Yeah,
That's what I've been saying. Humans are terrible, terrible creatures. Individuals are the ones we're saving.
I'm a brain cell short of a full brain kind of mad science guy that just kind of insane, crazy, look out into the world and see something and say, you know, that's jacked up. So
I say we put solar panels on the dark side of the moon to light up the side of the moon that faces the Earth. So when it's not a full moon, that we still got enough light to see by.
Well, you know, that'd be good. I would be.
Well, while we're at it, then let's go ahead and etch the moon on the side that faces the Earth with Dr. Steele's logo.
Well, I want to get up there.
Universe.
I want to get up there either on Mars or the moon and corner the corn dog market, get my little stand up and running before they start taxing the moon, you know? That way, when people show up on the moon, they'll see me standing there with my little corn dog stand and say, "What, corn dog, mister? Only $99.95 plus tax. That's $50 for those of you who can't count." Oh man, you know.
Yes, only $1.50
plus tax. You got to have that tax in there because you know the government's going to get their hand in my corn dog stand one way or another.
Oh yeah.
But, we got to start paying taxes on the moon. The next thing you know, man, you'll have every space federation out there wanting taxes too. So
well,
they make no money.
You're right, but
I have a feeling when we finally do encounter any other organisms like that, and they're already working together with other organisms, they're going to take one look at us and say, "You, back to your planet.
Yeah,
and don't come off again.
You guys
go back
nuts.
To your room and don't come out until you learn to play with the others." You know.
I also heard at one point that the moon was made out of cheese, so maybe corn dogs isn't the way to go. Maybe nachos. You know, I saw some nachos.
Well, what about that where they said we went to the moon and they told us not to come back already?
Well, yeah, what if
it's possible.
You know, nothing would surprise me.
For a species to exist with another species like that, they would have to have some sort of system in place, like maybe an empathy that they can't deny. So, like, if they were to hurt each other, it would hurt them just as badly as they hurt each other, so that way they don't end up in the same situation where we're at, where we're killing our own people over, you know, something as simple as oil.
Well, I like that idea.
In essence, a virus, they wouldn't want us anywhere near them. They wouldn't let us off the planet.
Is there any way that you can use that milling machine to make a chip that you can, like, put in everybody, and then if they go punch somebody in the nose, they feel it too?
Don't know about that, but there's been a lot of talk about that. Even if you've seen that show Regenesis.
Yeah.
It's made by the Canadian television networks. It's there's an episode about some sort of alteration to one of the main characters where he can actually sense and feel other people's emotions.
Man.
And can't block it out, so.
Well, I was just thinking along the lines of what you were saying a second ago about, like, if, you know, you did something wrong to somebody, you'd feel it instantaneously. What you just did to them, you would feel too. That would stop a lot of people getting it in fist fights, unless they were, like, the ones that, like, you know, hurt me, beat me, make me feel cheap kind of individuals.
What was that movie with that bald-headed kid there who was an albino and
powder.
He could read thoughts and move, you know, animate things with his mind and stuff like that?
He scored so high on the IQ test that made him take it 4 more times and still insisted he was cheating.
Man. It's just, this stuff is just mind-boggling. And you got to step back and almost laugh about the whole scenario. You know, the monkey with the gun thing, if you really seriously think about it, nobody in their right mind would actually give a monkey a gun, or would they? You know, we essentially gave the government a gun, and they ain't much more than monkeys up there, because they obviously can't get their act together, and they ain't bought off, sold out, blackmailed, shot, or, you know, have a car crash, heart attack, slash other going off a cliff into a raging river while a volcano's erupting by accident.
Man.
So what's worse to give a gun to? Something with a small brain or something with a big brain that's bigger than ours?
Well, sometimes
I think the solution is to check that brain and make sure the empathy part of it is still working first.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. So, you know, like you were talking about yesterday, if we're going to elect somebody in the office, we need to put them through a CAT scan to make sure that they're not sociopaths.
MRIs for everyone.
That's right.
I'll never get in another one of them machines, that's for sure. But either way...
Under the Constitution for qualification to become president. Well, I mean, well, shoot, the president we got right here, he doesn't qualify, but he's the president, and I know he didn't get elected for that second term, but he's still there.
Yeah. Our society...
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure, well, here's $100,000. Go ahead and fake the MRI here for me.
Our society has become so dumbed down, so desensitized, that it's really seriously scary. You know, I've seen a lot of videos out there on YouTube. Videos happen to leak out from war zones and stuff like that. And anytime you see a soldier sitting there mowing people down with a big smile on his face and he's all happy about it, something's wrong with that picture. What kind of individual would take enjoyment out of taking another individual's life, no matter what country they were from?
Right.
So it's your bad.
So, you know, where's the common sense?
Actually, though, that you're kind of creating an oxymoron there, because we said individual and you said sociopath, and as far as I'm concerned, a sociopath and psychopath is not an individual.
Well,
right? They're fundamentally no. I mean, the moment their brain broke, basically the human in them died.
Back in World War II, and even in World War I, they would take inventory after all the soldiers came back from the war. And there were soldiers that actually had exactly the amount of ammunition that they had when they left. They didn't fire their weapon at all in that entire war. It was a small minority of individuals who actually fought that doggone war. And
right.
So,
well, they actually ran a whole bunch of tests and whatnot, even in Britain, to basically try to break the component of the soldiers they were sending out that stopped them from firing, because they caught that a lot of those people that were firing their ammunition were purposefully, subconsciously, purposefully firing over the other individuals and whatnot. They weren't firing directly at them.
Or into
the
ground.
They were trying not to hurt anybody. Yeah. They didn't want to be there. They didn't want to hurt those people.
The way that they train the military and the police these days is they use a black silhouette in the shape of a human form, which after so many times of you firing at this black silhouette, see, in the old days, they fired at a bullseye, you know. And nowadays, they fire at a silhouette, which starts to train your brain to be desensitized, so you're just shooting at a shadow over on the other side, and it's not, you know, you don't equate that as another living human being on the other side.
Right.
That's actually the beginning of what I was thinking about here a little while ago, and even yesterday. We watch TV. We watch people get killed, and bam, 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 and that's entertainment. Isn't that kind of training us to cross that line, to go from lose our humanity and go into being sociopaths?
Well, look at the first-person shooter games. You know, I'm not anti-gun by any means. I believe that we have to hold on to our Second Amendment at all costs. But the problem that I have is that you got individuals out there who are being played in these first-person shooter games that takes serious hand-eye coordination to go through there and survive out to the other side. So these guys are really going in some really serious combat mode in order to make it through this video game. And then, if that's the individual for some reason has some sort of mental disability or whatever, and can't distinguish the difference between reality and fiction, now you've got a dangerous killer on there, a fully trained, combat-ready soldier who can go out there and the general public and just, you know, as you know, like that doggone game they call, what is it, Grand Theft Auto. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, you know. You go around there and you do things that you normally wouldn't do in reality, you know. Go around punching people and shooting them and blowing up stuff and stealing everything. If you're going to be really concerned about gun control, the first thing you need to be concerned about is what you're teaching the kids out there in this world. Because you're desensitizing them to violence. Am I wrong?
And there's nothing to counteract this either.
No.
That's the problem. That doesn't sell. What is the Megadeth song, Peace Sells But Nobody's Buying?
Yeah. You know, the whole key of that deal is that, you know, if you're starting to teach these kids at a young age that, you know, violence is the way to solve or resolute your problems or whatever, you got to bring up a future generation that the only thing they know is that if you don't get your way, you shoot somebody, you know?
What's that game, Call to Duty? Isn't that what it is?
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. I mean, my goodness. I mean, yeah, so all this killing and all that stuff, if they train the people to be, you know, it's just a game. Kind of like what Al Gore said about the government.
Well,
just a game.
You know where the problem is at, though, is that if you look at this, what they're doing is they're training them to swift and resolutely give themselves gratification at any cost whatsoever instead of these actions where they're using violence based upon a moral system that they instill in those kids. There's no morals in the game.
And there's another difference between the old video games as opposed to the new video games. See, the old video games, these didn't look like real people. These looked like little dots and whatever, you know. The resolution on the video wasn't good. You know, you look at
you're getting ready to touch on a thought that I just had a moment ago. The resolution has slowly evolved to where it's at now. So you've got the frog in the pot of water slowly being,
yeah,
you know,
now
temperature being raised until he's boiled and doesn't even know it.
These video games.
We had TV Pong. We had Asteroids, then we had Space Invaders, and then we had Galaga, and then it started getting into where you actually seen the faces, and the blood, and the gore, and now it gets even more than that, man. You just, you know, it's more of a game to see if you can shoot the guy and get him to do a double flip without his head hitting, and watch him slap and hit the ground flat, and they say, wow, man, if I hit him just right, I can do that again. And that, you know, it becomes even more of a game just to watch the graphics, and it's really messed with the mentality of the people and their hearts.
Right, there's no moral background in this either to basically, you know, culture within them why they're doing what they're doing. Because, you know, if you were to instill that, then basically without those, that would basically put into place the mechanisms to stop these kids from doing what they do in the game to people in the real world, simply because they would say, okay, this hasn't applied to that situation, so I'm not to use this method of violence. I'm supposed to use this method of, like, discussion or whatever to try to solve this problem. I only use the violence if this occurs or that occurs. They're not putting those safety mechanisms into place to teach these kids about, you know, what's right and wrong. They're just, you know, teaching them that it's okay to kill.
Well, and essentially they found a loophole to protect their own butt while they're putting this content out there to people by the rating system. You know, they can lay it off on the parent. Well, you know, it's PG-13. You got to have your parents' permission to see it or whatever, you know. And mm-hmm. So the companies can't hold them liable because it said, well, you know, we put a rating on there so that you would know that this is not suitable for children, but yet you bought the video game for them anyway. How many parents
out there? Not only are they training them to think that it's okay to kill, they're training them to think that it's fun to kill.
Yeah.
And what about the PG rating? You know what? Mama ain't over at little Tommy's house when her son goes over there to visit little Tommy.
Yeah, that was the next point I was fixing to make, because the parents, you know, they're buying these games for the kid. Kid wants this first-person shooter game. Mom says, all right, yeah, here you go. There's a game. Shut up. Go play your video game. That's the babysitter for the children these days is video games. You look at probably 8 out of 10 kids is sitting there when you go to their house, and they're playing a video game of some sort. And 9 times out of 10, it's either violence or some sort of sorcery, witchcraft, or whatever. You know, it's just it's just crazy.
And you made another little dealer inadvertently, where, you know, it's not just the video games, it's the parents. The parents say, yeah, go on, leave me alone.
Right.
Mr. Anderson was telling me yesterday where they take a baby, any kind of a baby, and they put it in a dark room, you know, and they let it grow up in a dark room, the nerves won't grow from the brain to the eye, so he'll be blind for life. And the same thing with the emotions. If you don't touch the baby and coo it and talk to it and hold it, then it doesn't grow up with emotions and it winds up being a sociopath. So the parents say, go on, leave me, just go play your stupid video game. So instead of love, they get to train on how to hate and have fun at it.
Right. They basically grow up disconnected. If you look at every single psychopath or sociopath or mass murderer that has ever done a tremendous amount of murder and mayhem on people, and you compare them to all of the people that have a lot of the same similar situations when it comes to violent upbringing, where they've been beaten or abused or you know, mistreated, the one thing that always rings true with those people who are violent offenders is that it wasn't the violence. It wasn't the being beat on. It wasn't the being hurt or yelled at or screamed at. It was the neglect that they hold true to. They were literally disconnected from their family and shown that the family did not care whatsoever. You can give a child negative attention. You can beat on them. You can make them work like crazy. You can stand over them and constantly berate them and mess with them. And they'll come out messed up, but they will not come out violently messed up.
Well, here's another aspect of that.
Negative attention is better than no attention.
Right. You lock them in a room and just totally ignore them and forget they exist, and you're going to get a mass murderer out of that room.
Here's another aspect to that whole scenario is that the mainstream media is fully guilty of it, and those who are out there marketing are fully guilty of it. They will literally train these kids that you got to be dressed in this clothes to be cool, you got to look like this, you can't look like that, and so these kids will go to school, and if somebody don't look like that, they'll start giving them a rash, you know, and you know...
And then they get all upset and hurt because they're being mistreated like that. So they go to the doctors and they go to their counselors and everything. And they're like, I'm depressed because this person is, you know, bullying me and whatnot. And what's their solution? Here's a pill.
Yeah, here you go. Take some dope, man.
This will help you not feel so bad. The important part of that, the important part of that phrase though is this will help you not feel.
Yeah.
Won't feel anything. You're going to become a sociopath. You're going to become a psychopath by taking this drug. And if you don't want to hurt and suffer, that's your alternative. You don't get any other alternatives. You either suffer and commit suicide and die because you feel so terrible, or you turn that switch off and turn into a monster.
Now, see, in the old days, the parents would have took that old bully behind the woodshed and warmed up his behind and sent him on back to school and said, don't do it again, and the chances are the kid wouldn't do it again. Nowadays, you know, if a little kid chooses bread in the shape of a gun, he gets the cops called on him and suspended from school.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and then they got the eye of the law on them for life.
Yeah.
Because it ruins their life.
There was a deal on the radio just day before yesterday. This little boy kissed a little girl on the hand, and now he's labeled as a sex offender at school.
Oh, come on, man.
Seriously. And I'm like, you know, these little kids, if you raise them up to love one another, then chances are they're not going to be raised up to hate each other and fighting and doing all the crazy stuff that you complain you don't like in society.
But you're cutting into their selection of people to turn into soldiers.
Well, yeah, they got to have soldiers.
To me, it's just proof that the people making the laws don't have any emotions, just like, you know, your social services ban. Now, some of the people get into the social services to help. But after they've seen so many really twisted, messed up minds, everybody they see, you know, they'll start asking them really rude questions to them that they would never have asked when they first started. They, it changes them. When all you see is the negative, you become negative.
You're only seeing half of it.
The people making the laws there about that and saying, oh, yeah, he's a sex offender, blah, blah, blah. Those are people without emotion. Those are people who were probably really bad abused when they were growing up.
You only have those terrible people in those professions because one of two things happens. Either they break and turn into what you're talking about, or they can't handle it and they have to leave. They have to choose another profession. So you end up with nothing but people who basically have next to no emotions in there because they're the only ones that can actually stand being in there. It's like having a room full of sewage, and the only people that are willing to work in the room full of sewage are the ones that can't smell.
You know what's worse than this whole deal here is the fact that if you think about our generation, like mine and Muddy, we're probably the oldest group in there. I don't know how old Dublin or yourself is, but the scary thing about it is the folks that are coming up being basically indoctrinated in school will be the future teachers. And so all the past is forgotten, all this past science is forgotten, and now people are only being taught what somebody decides that people need to be taught. And so if these same individuals who are neglected, you know, at home end up becoming teachers and end up teaching other kids and on down, how far can society really deteriorate before it actually gets to a point where everything simply starts to implode on itself? You see where I'm coming from?
I have an answer for that. It's called the answer is basically a movie called Idiocracy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's a horror movie because it's basically where we're going. Yeah.
So the solution to this whole thing outside of giving monkeys guns and sending them into space, I would say, would be to right now, if there is a chance to turn this ship around, it's going to come from the bottom. It's not going to come from the top. So and essentially, while the government's up there steering the rudder, we take a hacksaw and we saw off the arm that actually lets them control the rudder, and we start guiding the rudder ourselves from behind, you know, because it's obvious that their track record sucks. Am I wrong?
Right. Well, they're at the top of the ship, so they can't see just how big that little icicle that they see sticking out of the water really is. We're down on the bottom, so we can see what's underneath there. So we need to be the one steering it.
Yeah. So let's.
Yeah, the arm that you need to cut off is that one to this a paper currency that they can keep on printing. So they're going to be trying to vote on this during our Christmas time while we're. At home with the family, they're going to try to vote to where they can go ahead and print some more money. And the other thing is Bitcoin. They can't mess with Bitcoin.
So well, have you
that seen... That takes the power right out of their hand. That is literally sawing their arm off.
Have you seen those little toys that they put in the back seat for kids that have the little steering wheel and the horn and all that to keep them occupied?
Yeah, we had one of those for my kid, and next thing I knew, he was up there trying the real thing, and we had to dive through the window, and we mowed over about three bushes and a fence by the time we got it to stop.
Well,
and 2 weeks later, it happened again.
We need
boy,
so we learned not to leave the car running. Also, the second time, he actually started it and took off. So, yeah, he's a pretty smart fella for only being a year and a half.
Well, I didn't want to get anybody in a car crash or anything, but what I did want to do is put something up there to keep them occupied while we do the real steering from behind. You know what I mean?
Idea. That kind of blends into that idea that I had for starting our own Atlantis, you know. Basically, a disconnected system that's made up of basically the brighter people that we've got, or the determined people that are willing to build these solutions and keep it semi-underground so that basically the corporations and the government don't come in and destroy it on us, you know?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you just gotta, we gotta do it. It is, we don't have a choice. It has to be done, you know? Otherwise, this ship that we're on, it's going to crash. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody's been talking about, you know, the economy crashing and the bank, the money collapsing and the doggone stock market's going down. And it's obvious by the way that they're running things that is inevitable. Right now, I feel like they're artificially propping everything up so that they can get all their bunkers in place for when all hell breaks loose. The bigwigs are sitting down there in their nice air-conditioned bunkers and having a good old time of it while we're out here fighting this war with one another. We need to realize ahead of time that that's coming down the road, and instead of surprise, surprise, we're not fighting with one another, but what we are doing is taking these backhoes and bulldozers and we're plugging off your air control systems and concreting you in. So you enjoy your life down there in the bunker for however long you got your supplies, but you're never coming back out here again. Welcome to jail. Right.
Isn't there a vent tube that comes up to from the ground and goes up, you know, to above the ground so they can breathe and get fresh air in there?
Yeah, I was talking about how, you know,
does look like a toilet, don't it?
Slide a porta potty over that.
you went and said it. I was thinking, but I wasn't going to say it. That's just too foul.
Yeah, give them some roughage. They like it rough, we'll give them some roughage.
Well, the whole doggone thing is this, man. They're going to use our money to build themselves essentially a Noah's Ark so that they can survive the apocalypse that they created. So
hold on. Our money. Let's get rid of that notion. They're going to use our labor and our resources.
Yeah, there you go.
They used their money to steal from us.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
but the problem is while they were driving drunk down the road to sure destruction, we were in the passenger seat saying, pass me some nachos, give me that video game there, I want to play a round of that or something like that. We were all distracted with our own little shiny things while this lunatic is at the wheel and he's driving us off a cliff, you know.
Right, that's why we need to get out the moment they pull over to a rest station and get in our own lifeboat to get away from all this.
Yeah, when they say, how far are you going? Right here is fine.
Yeah, and see you later.
No, tell you what, when I find that spaceship out in my backyard, Shaziz, I'm coming picking you up, Bubba.
Right on. We'll go, explore the stars, what we should be doing already. We should already be out there and just traveling all over the place, man. We have the technology. It's just it's suppressed. That's all I can say, man. If anybody disagrees with me, sit down and seriously contemplate on the technology that you actually have in your hand and think about it seriously. The cell phone technology these days is just amazing. And every day I see something even fancier than what I seen yesterday. Some kids over there got a doggone, you know, iPad or whatever, and he's doing touch screen and sliding this and that, and he's on YouTube and all over the internet, and when they need to fix something, they Google it, and suddenly they have the information right there at their finger touch. We didn't have that whenever I was a kid. If you have access to that kind of technology, you can only imagine what the man's got.
I just want a pop spaceship.
Yeah, well, that'll work. Dude, I don't care if it's made out of an old hot water heater. I want a rocket to space. I want a monkey co-pilot. And if you guys want to go along for the ride, then more the merrier.
Yeah, leave the machine guns to the lizards.
Yeah. You got to look at the common sense of it all. There is no common sense. It don't take 30, 40 years to solve starving problems in the world. It don't take... You know, like I said, you can't sell bullets if there ain't no wars. You can't sell no guns and ammunition if there ain't no wars. You can't sell medicine if there ain't nobody sick. And so these guys have got it down, Pat. They got it down to a T. They know how to manipulate us into buying everything that they have to sell, you know. If you don't want it, they'll legislate it into you, you know. Hey, you got to buy it.
Yeah, you come back and then you'll have... When we get back to Earth, though, Kiru will be calling you Bright Eyes.
Yep.
Here we go. You can't talk about lizard. Monkeys and spaceships, man.
Well, you know.
The name of the song is Planet X Marks the Spot.
You know, just, you know, it makes about as much sense as what's going on down here, you know. How many millions of dollars did it take to send those two monkeys up into space? Seriously.
Probably about $2
billion.
Yeah. All right. Well, what could they have done constructively with that $2 billion as opposed to sending two monkeys into space?
Right.
You know, sure, you got to do some testing for, you know, find out whether or not a human can go into space or whatever like that, but it's already been done, so why would you have to do it again? Why would you waste that kind of money to do that when if you could get all the people on board to, hey, share your technology with me and I'll share my technology with you and we'll all go to space together and we'll find the gold and the diamonds of space and become wealthy, you know, whatever. It's just, ugh, drives me insane, man.
I'm working on something that actually is a space program. I've got probably about 16 people now that are pretty serious about working on this with me.
Well, count me in.
Let me pull up the...
Anyway, we're down to like the last 8 minutes of the show, and this is the time where I allow everybody to go around the table and put their final thoughts in so that we can scoot on up out of here and give the next people in line...
Give them their piece.
Yeah, so who wants to go first?
Well, there's Evelyn, he hadn't said nothing. He probably died in there.
No, I've been letting you guys babble away there. I've been enjoying it. I was thinking we have to go further on everything. We have to try and make, like, open source banking where we only use coins like Bitcoin or the other types of, you know, Litecoin or anything that's not a central bank issued currency, so that we could, you know, say like by spreading your say you owned 100 bitcoins and you put it into this bank, you could spread it between all the different types of currencies, alternative currencies. So if Bitcoin goes up and Litecoin goes down, you don't lose. You know what I mean? At the moment, it's a bit helter skelter, so it'd be like hedging. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then
the way to do that is to put more resources into the system that supports.
All right. Well, yeah, we're getting down to the wire, guys. So
yeah, I believe in that Bitcoin because it's actually like when you download a BitTorrent. That's what Bitcoin is. It's recorded on several thousands of computers around the world, and if one ISO or one image doesn't exactly match pixel for pixel, then it's rejected, and the ones that do match are the ones there. So it's kind of pretty much invulnerable. Where our current currency is, you know, it's based on paper instead of gold.
Right.
Like it used to be. They put it on the yen, and that was the biggest mistake they ever did. And then gold went up. Oh, my goodness. Well, but anyway, on my part there, I put out another video. I got a birthday present called a wind turbine from Missouri Wind and Solar, and I put out a video. That's www.youtube.com/user/muddymuddymudman, and you check the newest video will pop right out when you get to the home page, and you'll see it there. Muddy's birthday present, or the cheap Chinese no-name wind turbine. And so I got another video out there for those who've been waiting and watching and all that kind of good stuff. And we had a eBay auction for the Bare Bones, where Belgrade Machine did all the metal work and the bearings and everything all set up there and put it out on auction. And someone we know, which I can't mention, decided, I can win that. And so he bought it, and he told Belgrade Machine to send it to me. So now after what's supposed to be a priority mail, 2 or 3 days, it took 9 days to get it to me because of all the ice. It is finally here.
Yay.
It is here.
We're down to the wire there, brother. Thomas, you got the last word.
I was just going to reiterate a couple, I guess, important keys to the two locks that those two guys just put out there. They were talking about the Bitcoin and whatnot. The difference, I guess, we need to really be aware of is that those cryptocurrencies are peer-to-peer technology. They're money that's peer-to-peer. That means basically we, the people, are the Federal Reserve, not somebody else who's controlling it all, and we're now all little underlings. We're not peers with the people who own the Federal Reserve. We are peers with other people who own Bitcoin. So, you know, that's just what I was going to poke on there. And you know, we need to support that system.
And that's where it needs to be.
It takes the power away from them lizard heads.
Thanks.
Right, the psychopath.
Thanks, guys. We got to run because somebody else is waiting to take over the show after we're done. And so with that said, y'all been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Use a little more common sense than giving Monkey a gun, and I think we can turn this big boat around. You guys agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just don't give it to the lizards.
Yeah, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Take care.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh!
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well,
on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to fill the table and the Knights of the Round Table.